Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Wyndham Clark won the U.S. Open for the second time in his career, but it wasn't easy. Clark led every round of the tournament. However, he nearly gave away a six-shot lead on Sunday, finishing just one stroke ahead of Sam Burns to win his second U.S. Open in 4 years. On the diamond, the Cincinnati Reds took 2 of 3 from the New York Yankees, including a 4-1 win in the rubber match yesterday. The Redlegs will start a series with the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. First pitch is set for 7:10. And the Cleveland Guardians were in Houston this weekend. They lost 2-1 yesterday and dropped 2 out of 3 games to the Astros. The Guardians will look to bounce back tonight. First pitch from Chicago is scheduled for 7:40. This update is sponsored by RCD RV Supercenter. Visit them in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala or at rcdrv.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
T-Bone and Tyvis, can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the 5 best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Monday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone, and for the first time in 3 weeks, I can say this. He's Tyvis. Good morning. Go to hell. What's up, man?
What's going on? I was shocked to see that the badge still worked. You know, that was the thing. I was really anticipating. So I was talking to Fish last night, and Fish was, I forgot why he was texting Fish, but he was like, I'll see you bright and early, 5:30 in the morning. We'll have HR there. I said, okay, I'll make sure I bring my badge and my playbook.
Yeah.
And so when I pulled up, I was like, he's not here.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, I'm good to go.
I tried to fool you because I was like, no, he's here. He parked in a different spot. Let's go down. And then, yeah, his office was closed. There was no one there. How was the last 3 weeks, man? Obviously, I know the baby came. Young Tsunami is now with us,
yes.
A.K.A. Baby Trace, his actual name. But yeah, how's Baby Tsunami doing?
You know, he's doing well. Let's take you all the way back. So obviously it was cool.
We don't need to go so far back that's like, well, it was a nice night. We had just had dinner. My wife started saying nice things in my
sometime
ear.
Sometime long, long ago.
In a galaxy far, far away, by the way.
No, his arrival was great. It was nice to be in the chat and be able to share that play by play with y'all.
It was
kind of fun.
That was incredible because I
took it all the way up to before I walked into the room where I couldn't have a phone like on YouTube anymore because they had to focus.
Yeah.
So I rode this thing out as long as I could
with
the fans.
Yes, you
so did. That was great. When he got delivered, what I didn't know is that my wife's OBGYN was like, when they was having like their checkups, she was explaining to her like, yeah, Tyvis doesn't believe that we're having a boy. So her OBGYN named Deidre, she was like, oh, she's like, well, I gotta mess with him a little bit.
Mm.
So when my wife gets rolled back there into the room, she goes, the door closes and she goes, everybody in the office is in on it. We're going to fool Tyvis.
Okay.
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 So I get up there, she delivers the kid and she says, oh my gosh, it's a girl.
Really?
Now, at this moment, I'm wearing my boy dad shirt.
Yes.
So it's like,
right.
I'm celebrating the fact that I got a boy. She says, Tyvis, it's a girl. And she's like, I swear it's a girl. So I'm like, for real? Then she goes, no, I'm just kidding. It's a boy.
So man,
in that moment, which I have it all recorded on my phone. So in that moment, my wife was like, oh, you were shaking. I said, yeah, because we never thought of a girl name if it was a girl.
Well, there's
two,
that.
I got this shirt on and I'm going to take it in the parking lot and set a match to it. And three, we have no girl gear because we just donated all our old girls gear, our clothes.
Can you imagine? You have to go back and buy everything.
I was worried about all that. And then she goes, no, I was just kidding. So nobody can take nothing serious in this world, T-Bone.
Good. I'm glad to see, like, they're like, oh, yeah, you had another girl. And you're like, yeah, that's I mean, that's I'm just thrilled. So happy right now.
No, but he's been wonderful. Obviously, you know, when he first got out, he really wasn't eating a lot like that. He just wanted to sleep. Now it's the opposite. He just wants to eat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's gonna get bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's I'm not surprised. I mean, I know his dad is. So
don't do that.
He likes to eat don't like his dad. That's how we're gonna do it. Welcome back, buddy. Welcome back. Yeah, so I have so many questions about how it's been going, but I need to know what the sleep pattern's like right now for you. Where are we at after? I know we've talked to you a few times on your leave,
yeah.
But are we getting like a few hours of sleep? Are we getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep?
So how we were doing it was my wife would take the night shift because my wife is a night owl. She likes to stay up late.
Sure.
And then I wake up early because obviously I do this show. So she would take him from, I would go to bed at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. So from that time, she would take over and then I would wake up around 5 o'clock and I would take over around 5 and then she would sleep for like 4 hours.
Okay.
So that's how we was doing it.
Yeah.
Last night, she just took over the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
she was like right before my alarm went off at 4:45, he had woke up at 4:14. And she like got up and like was taking care of him and all that and let me sleep. And then while I was walking out the door, he was back asleep. So hopefully she's asleep.
So when you get home today,
yeah,
you're back on.
It's
you and Trace.
There you go. Pretty much. Yeah.
She's going to hand him over to you.
He's pretty chill. Like, oh, you give him a bottle, you change. We're at the phase where they just eat and poop and pee.
Yes,
and,
right.
So if they cry, it's they hungry or they diapers wet.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Now, that's the other question. I think we learned this the other day when you were talking when you came on and Joshua was here still.
Yeah.
He got you.
Yes, he did.
He got you in the bathtub.
Yeah, he did. So I dodged the first time. The first time we were, I was down on in the living room and he started peeing. And I had the burp rag because I remember Josh said, he's going to pee on you. So he started peeing and it went to the left. It went to the left. Uh-huh. So I took the burp rag and threw it on there. Boom. Shattered, got myself so I didn't get peed on. So I was able to do that. When this other time we were giving him a bath and I was showing my wife this very hilarious video on Instagram and he just peed on me and she like, oh my God, he's peeing. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, like, but since then, I'm back on my toes.
But then you're like, well, anyway, what'd you think of the video, though? Like, because I know that feeling when you show your spouse a video.
The video was hilarious.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't get the reaction you want.
She was giggling at it. That's the thing.
Well, at least that's worth getting peed on, just to get the reaction.
You know, you learn, when you're married or you're in a relationship, you learn that you and your spouse or you and your partner have two different what you think is funny is different than what they think is funny.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they send you something and say, this is hilarious. And you look at it and say, what is this? And then vice versa.
Exactly.
That happens all the time with me and my wife.
There's times where my wife will be like howling, cackling for 5 minutes straight on the couch. Like, cannot stop laughing. She'll send it to me and it's like a librarian being like, anyway, the books are out of order. And then it's like her standing next to books that are out of order and my wife is dying laughing. And I'm like, I get it. The books sometimes are,
But you feel bad because you want to chuckle at it. But it's like, I missed it.
It's like, there's nothing here. And then she does the same for me. I'll send her stuff and she thinks it's not funny at all. Usually it's Jackass videos are what I send her, is like the guys from Jackass.
That sounds about right.
I love Jackass. The movie's coming out. I can't wait.
They got a movie coming out?
Like Jackass 5.
What more can they do?
Oh, I can't wait to find it. That's why I'm going to watch. Because it's just, what kind of idiocy will they do this time?
I mean, they've been doing this for like
25 years.
Yeah.
30 years. Yeah. A long time.
Is Steve-O still there?
Steve-O's still there. Sober.
He got to be like 60.
Yeah, I know all these guys are in their like 50s and 60s now. And they're still doing stunts? Yes. They're all depraved. Some of them are dead, honestly. There's been a few guys that died.
You know what? They would do the wall of death.
Oh, they would do that. They probably have in a second.
Speaking of movies that I didn't think they could do it anymore, I saw Toy Story 5 over the weekend.
You watched it?
Oh, yeah.
How was it?
It was great.
See,
it's the toys versus the electronics,
right? Exactly. Yeah.
That's actually a really...
It is a good premise.
Yeah, because that's really what's going on.
Did it? Because I feel like, was it the third one? where they say goodbye and you think you're actually like they're actually gonna kill
so
him?
I thought the third one was
that
like,
wait, what's like, the third one that that's where one, he goes to college right Andy goes to college
end,
and he gives like
gives him away at the end. But is but that the scene Bones talking about is like they almost like
go in the incinerator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and the thing, the claw, the little Martian thing saved him. Yeah,
right. Yeah. I honestly thought the third one was the perfect ending, but Disney said, no.
Yeah, I don't
there needs to be a fourth one.
And no, that's, I thought, that's Sporky, right?
Fours with the spork. Yeah, the spork
so then,
thing,
like,
right.
Woody leaves with Bo at the end and leaves the other toys behind, and I'm like, okay, this was not as good of an ending for the saga, but I get it. And then they're like, no. Number five now.
Why?
Woody's back.
And it seems like...
And he's got the cul-de-sac, don't
yes.
he?
Oh yeah, he's going bald. Sorry, man. When the toys are going bald, I get it. Like I just said, I'm here for Jackass 5, but between Jackass and Toy Story, I think you can pick one of those to go. I don't think like my kids want to go see Toy Story because they're like, oh, Toy Story in the theaters. We never really got to do that. Or I mean, like the oldest ones have, but Abby hasn't gotten to. And I'm like, all right, I guess. But for me,
you're not like, excited to see Toy Story 5?
I'll probably.
But you,
take them
but
to
you
see
want
it.
To go see the Ninja see Turtles? Life. You want to go see the Ninja Turtles? The Secret of the Ooze?
Yeah, exactly.
That you've seen a million times.
No, but I never saw it. Well, I did see it in the theater, but I was like, I was eight or whatever. I want to see it in the theater. I went back and saw it.
Bone, you would appreciate it more, and Reimer's in here too. He'd appreciate Toy Story 5 more. The three of us more than Tyvus because we're all exclusively girl dads.
Yeah, he wouldn't know what that's like. Yeah,
that's why I purposely wore my boy dad shirt that I'm gonna take.
The reason why is because Jesse is more of the star of Toy Story 5 than Woody and Buzz.
Yeah. Times is just in here like, well, why don't we get Rambo on? That's what I need to show him. That's what I show him how to be a man.
Why aren't they blowing stuff up?
Yeah, why are they blowing stuff up? Yeah. He's got like on his little Hot Wheels or like, what's the little thing they call the little car that you get him? The Power Wheels. Yeah. They have like little nuts hanging off the back of it and driving around. Like, powered by men. That's right. All right, well, Tyvus is back. We got to tell you, the Fan 5K happened. Tyvus ran the 40. We'll tell you what he did coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Many of us waking up to some wet roads out there, so a heads up. And we are seeing some challenges, especially if you're heading downtown. There's a crash 670 eastbound, just passing 71 south. That left lane is currently blocked 6 miles per hour when it comes to your drive times out there. Is causing some backups over by Fort Hays Park. Again, guys, take it nice and slow on the roads. We are still seeing some wet and slippery roads, even some ponding out there on the shoulders. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
fan.org. Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect on and off showers and storms this morning with wake up temperatures in the 60s and breezy winds at times. And this afternoon, we'll still see some chances of showers and storms, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy with temperatures in the upper 70s. For tonight, turning mostly cloudy to mostly clear with overnight lows down into the 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tyvus is back. You can say hi to him in the YouTube chat. Just go to YouTube, 971 The Fan. Click on T-Bone and Tyvus. Already in the chat this morning, one Laurencia Powell.
Shout out to Lauren.
Yeah, she is up and she is in there. Also, Joshua Perry is in there, along with all of our regulars like Rusty, and Connor, and Mario, and a bunch of others. Quinn is in there as well. Thank you all for getting up with us this morning, as always. But Tyvus, you're in the chat, but this is like you're back. What inspired you to get in the chat so much the last 3 weeks? Because, I mean, with leave, you're technically allowed to like make no contact with anybody here, and that's totally allowed.
It's one of those things that, you know how, okay, so when you're an athlete, you have a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like you fall into a routine, and it's hard to break that routine. So routinely, I get up, I come in here, I turn the computer on, and I get on YouTube. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm always in the chat.
Yeah.
So when I was on leave, That's all I know. All I know is to get up,
yeah,
get on YouTube and get in the chat. So that's why I was just like, you know what? I'm up. The baby was up anyways because it was my shift. I got up at 5 and it's like, once I wake up, I'm not going back to sleep. I'm not one of those people that gets up, do some things and then can go back to sleep. No, it's you up for the day.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I might as well check on my guys.
Hey, look at
see
that.
See if Dylan
see,
getting
was,
fed.
See, that
poor
was good.
Poor Jessica. She had to open up the checkbook for 3 weeks. Man, who bought the tickets to the movie?
I did.
Okay. Oh, he must got him a little bonus.
I guess. Maybe.
You know.
Maybe.
Father's Day.
Link in the bio, huh?
Not actually about Father's
Day. Oh,
at all.
Yeah. By the way, happy Father's Day to everybody. Hope you had a good one if you are a father. Everyone in here, including Rhyme Time, Jacob Reimer is in. So Reimer's going to shadow the next couple days Dylan, which is odd because usually you have the worst producer shadowing the better producer. So in this case, it's been flipped around, which is...
Reimer probably knows how to book a guest or two. I have not done that. We had one guest while you were gone, Tyvus, and I said, Joshua.
Yeah, we did.
Anyone from NBC want to come on the show? Just ask them and then let me know.
Yeah.
It was my idea. It's always my idea.
You did do that part. Yes. Yeah. You did ask him to book a guest.
And then he booked a guest. Or Joshua. That's
exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, but so Reimer's in here for a couple days. Then he's going to fill in because, Dylan, you're taking some time off. So then Rhyme Time is going to be in
for a couple days. Rhyme Time can't even get a dub today in Papa Shy.
Oh, and I thought it appropriate.
I'm trying to wake up. I'm not used to this.
Ooh, so 3-0.
Jacob Reimer.
3-0.
For those who don't know, whenever Jacob Reimer is in the building, when Tyvus is in the building, they have to go at it on Papa Shy.
That's right.
Pretty much every
on site.
Every single break. So
he needs to be humbled.
So Tyvus was sitting here in the last commercial break. It's the first time, you know, I've seen Tyvus in mostly of 3 weeks. And I thought maybe we'd catch up a little bit. And he's like, oh, I got to go. And
then he got to give him his medicine. He got to take his medicine.
Did you win?
Oh, man. 3-0.
Okay. All right.
I've taken the same amount of shots that Tyvus has had while he's been on leave.
So which means that I'm a better shooter than him because walked out of there and just bang.
You're back.
Steph Curry, baby.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. So
Reimer texted me last night. He was like, what time you get in? I was like, oh, he must be shadowing me for some reason. And then I told my girlfriend, I was like, oh, I have to actually get to work at a good time because Reimer's coming in there. And she's like, is he taking your job? I'm like, nice to know you have faith that I could keep my job.
Well, everybody got to stay on their toes around here.
Oh, yeah. Sure do.
Sure. You never know. People love to get somebody in here and have you train the person that's going to take your job. Yeah. That's how life works.
Keeps you young. That's right. Keeps you on your toes. Keeps your old ticker moving. You can drop into the YouTube chat. Say hi as well. So I said I mostly hadn't seen you for the last part of 3 weeks. Because Saturday I saw you out at the Fan 5K and also the 1 mile run, the Common Man mile, that happened, the 9.71K and the 40-yard dash, which you ran the 40-yard dash.
I did.
And what was the time that we went with at the very end of all that?
4.85. Which is... If you know, that is fantastic for me. That's fantastic for me. I'm going to tell you why it's fantastic.
Go ahead. Tell people why it's fantastic.
I'm 50 pounds heavier. It's been 10 years since I ran it.
Uh-huh.
And it's not. And I had no training. I didn't train for it. It's not like I went out and did starts and anything. I did nothing. This is off the couch to run a 4.85. And by the way, I looked at the video. I was moving too.
You were moving.
I was sliding.
I went down to the finish line area to get a eagle eye view of it as you came straight at me. And I'm like, all right, I want to see what this looks like. And I got to be honest,
I walked away like, you know what? Man, I lose this 50 pounds, boy. I can make a comeback.
That was something. It was like I was like watching Miles Garrett run at me. He has gotten bigger. Good
you
for
know what?
Him.
I was listening to Common Man and Timmy. I think it was Thursday, and they were talking about BMI.
Yeah.
I put in our weights, Tyvus. BMI is not kind.
No, we're all obese.
You ran 4.85 as technically an obese person.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
I wanted the BMIs. I don't know what they said about it, but I'm going to tell you BMI is a they've done this. They've like researched it. The guy who came up with all the BMI crap is like a horrible dude. Like, so this stuff that we are using doesn't even, it's not accurate. You have to be basically like a 12-year-old prepubescent boy to be like, oh yeah, you're, and be like rail thin. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're not obese now. It's like the fact that like you, Dylan, are you considered
obese?
I was
considered overweight.
That's the dumbest thing. So what is someone like me supposed to do? Just not drop dead, apparently. Like, come on. It's ridiculous.
I think the BMI is made to inspire people to lose weight.
Well, yes, or to like shame people who are otherwise doing great, who are like, oh, I run marathons, I lift weights, I exercise, I eat right.
Well,
like,
I was talking
but,
to...
But you got the wrong height and weight combo for this little math scale, so now you should feel bad about yourself?
Wait
That's
a minute.
Stupid.
What did you put as my height and weight?
I think I put like 6'3", 255.
And it said obese.
And it said obese.
Obese. Not overweight. Obese. Obese. You're a former athlete. It called you,
you know,
obese.
I know. It's funny.
Like we tease you about it, but you're obviously not in bad shape at all.
So while I was out there, mm-hmm. I ran into a fan and he goes, you know what? You're not as fat as they make you seem. He said, compliment it to me if you make you seem like you're just fat. You're not even fat.
You're not fat. That's the joke. That's the joke. I'm making fun of your weight. Me, Tyvus, I'm making fun of your weight. There's the obvious joke there is that doesn't make sense.
Did you run any of your 5K?
Well, no. I didn't.
Not even a jog.
Well, here's the thing.
Did you take a hard step?
Well, yeah, I actually did have to jog a little bit because Max, who works here upstairs, you've heard Common Man and Timmy. We used to talk about Max, who is one of our, she like runs the whole radio station, basically. Mm-hmm. She was there, saw her little guy who was running around. He's like 5. And so we talked beforehand. I said, are you running the 5K or what are you doing? He said, I'm running the 1 mile. I said, okay. Well, on this course, which again, it's at Otterbein, and they split it off because you can run the mile, the 3 miles or the 6 miles, technically the 9.71K.
Mm-hmm.
So I passed the point where the cutoff was for 1 mile to go back towards the stadium. I kept going on the 5K course. And I see her little guy running past me at one point, and I'm like, I don't think he's supposed to be up here. So then I called Max and said, is your guy supposed to be up here?
And he walking so slow, he can make a phone call.
Yeah. So then she's like, no, he ran up ahead of us, and we thought he was running on the course, but he took a wrong turn. I said, you want me to get him? And so then now here's it's in year 2026. There's me. I mean, obviously, a lot of people out there knew who I was, that I worked at the station. But still, here I am approaching like a young child. And I'm like, hey, your mom says you have to come with me. I'm on the phone with his mom. I just want everybody to know, like, I'm talking to his mom. You want to talk to your mom? And of course, he's met me before. But I could understand if he's like, I don't know who this guy is.
Right.
So he said, no, I'm just going to keep going that way. And I was like, oh, buddy, that's a fun idea. Why don't we go back this way, though, because where your mom is. So eventually we get him back reunited. Everything's good. But by the time I got done when that all happened, I look back and the course workers are picking up the cones because like they're cleaning up the course so cars can be on it. And I'm like, great. Now I got to run in front of the truck like the whole. So I didn't. I went back and just did the miles. So.
Did you even try?
On my 5
quitter.
On my,
yeah.
What a quitter.
Did you try enticing the kid with candy?
Yeah, I had a van unmarked, rolled open the door, was like, your mom said to pick you up. Just get in here. You know, no, I know her in high school. I don't know. She told me to pick you up.
You know what I did like about the 40, though?
What's
is
that?
I watched all these people attempt to beat that time, and they realized, like, yeah, that 4.8 is that 4.8 pretty fast.
However, let's not
two people beat it.
Two people beat you in the 40.
Two people run. I think one ran a 4.71, which I timed that myself. 4.71.
So
his name was
one.
Nate, and then Greg ran a 4.78. I want to think. I think it was.
Did either of these guys have like a background of playing sports?
I didn't ask. I was so excited for them. I was so excited that they actually did it.
Yeah.
Because I watched, like, I sat there and timed, like, hundreds of people that nobody could get it. So when I finally clocked the time, I was like, oh, my goodness, you did it. Like, you actually beat the 4.8.
I saw Mike's daughter, Samantha.
Yeah.
Oh, she ran the 40.
I watched her take off in the 1 mile and the 40.
Yeah, yeah. She was running. She had a good time out there. So, yeah, if you didn't get to go out, don't worry. Already confirmed we're doing it next year. We'll get dates and times and signups for
all
that.
I'm supposed to be racing Timmy in a mile.
You and Tim are going to race in a mile.
Well, Tim says that he's like this all-time sprinter when it comes to like miles.
A mile.
Yeah, he said he ran it in like 4 minutes or 5 minutes.
Well, there's no way he ran it in 4 minutes.
This was back, but this was back when he was like a kid.
He didn't run a 4 minute mile.
Okay, maybe he said five.
Like Roger Bannister.
Whatever he said, it was ridiculous.
Okay, well, he didn't run it in that, but let's say he ran it in like 5 minutes or something. That could be very possible.
He ran it 5 minutes 25 years ago? Like, okay.
I gotta see. So I gotta like get, I gotta get into like some type of shape for this.
Okay, well, then that's all right. So you guys can set all that up. That's the thing.
Round is a shape, Tyvus.
Yeah, that is true. That's what I've been telling myself. For years. Golf fans were mean to one of the golfers over the weekend at the U.S. Open. We'll talk about it in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
If you live in Marysville and are heading outside right now, we are seeing a crash on 33 eastbound passing Scotts Lawn Road by that rest area. The right lane is currently blocked, so it will cause you some slowdowns as you're approaching areas like Plain City, Dublin, even further as you're heading towards downtown Columbus. We also have a disabled vehicle, 71 northbound, just passing Morse Road. That right lane is currently blocked before you get to that 270 split. I'm 10TV's Brina Albizu with your fan
business. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
All right, I think I have set a new personal record so far in the last week and a half, and that is it's been 32 minutes of this show, and I have not once mentioned the words World Cup, I don't think yet, but I have been watching. I have watched eight.
I watched a ton of WNBA.
Did you? Oh, yeah, because you were in the chat talking about WNBA and bringing up stuff, and I had to Google what you were talking about. Because
you didn't know who Olivia Miles was?
I wasn't locked in on her game, wow. But now I am after you said that, because I looked, and she's been having some good games.
Yeah, I was actually watching them last night. The Mystics, Cody McMahon plays for Washington Mystics. Yep. I was watching them play Olivia Miles in the Lynx, and it was the way that game ended was laughable.
What happened?
So the Mystics was down, and they ended up like hitting a layup to go up by like 1 point, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it was like 19 seconds left in the game. So Olivia Miles is taking the ball out. She tries to give it to Kayla McBride, but Kayla McBride like fakes and takes off. But when she fakes, Olivia throws her the ball. So she turns the ball over on the inbound. So the funniest part is they obviously have to foul. So they foul. They go to the free throw line. The girl splits them. She makes one, misses the second one.
Yeah.
The Mystics grabs the board, the offensive board. They got a foul again. Next person goes to the line. She splits them. She makes the first one, misses the second one. They grab the board again.
No. Oh, no.
I said, at this point.
You can't win a basketball game doing that. The other team got... On three
different shooters, three offensive boards.
And that's insane. On free throws, at the end of the game.
They ended up losing like that. I said, this is a shame.
That is, you earned that, L. Carry that one around. You earned that for sure. Yeah, so you were locked in on WNBA. I was, meanwhile, yesterday, I'm watching Cape Verde, the tiny African nation, first World Cup ever, I believe, that they've qualified for. Steven Moreira, who I totally forgot this. Last week, Cape Verde was playing Spain, and I was like, oh, you can just go ahead and take the over on this. I think it's like 4.5 goals. Just go ahead and take the over. Spain's going to roll them. 0-0 tie. For them, like a massive win, right? But then it's like, okay, that was a fluke. Never doing that again. Crew defender Steve Moreira played out of his mind in that game. This game, they played Uruguay. Another team that's like won World Cups. Like they are a soccer nation.
Yeah.
Tied them, got the first goal on a free kick. Got up 1-0. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It might be an upset.
You're 1-0. Like, that could be it, right?
And then at the end of the half, Uruguay got two goals, made it 2-1 going into halftime. I'm like, oh, that's bad.
Well, it's over with now.
I went from not knowing anything about this country to being like, that's bad for our Blue Sharks. Our Blue Sharks, that's their nickname. They're just, come on. And so then second half.
You like Bo when it comes to SMU. My ponies.
Oh, my Sharks, baby. Oh, my ponies. My Sharks. I ordered a jersey. I got a jersey coming in the mail. I got a Cape Verde jersey on the way. So Then they scored. Cape Verde scored in the 60th minute, tied it up 2-2. Shut out Uruguay in the second half. Steven Moreira played out of his mind. He cleared a ball off the line with his head. Played like unreal defense. The whole team did. They tied 2-2. There's a chance this tiny little country, which is not even on the mainland of Africa. Africa's a giant continent. It's little islands off the coast that they only gained independence in like 1975 from Portugal.
Hey, you did your research.
I am in.
He's invested.
I want to be a part of this nation.
Meanwhile, I'm over here upset at Sam Burns for missing his putt on 18.
Oh, you were watching?
Oh, man. You know, he's like, he like a magician on the green.
Sam Burns?
Yeah.
They're calling him Mr. Burns. No? Simpsons? No, thanks. That's fine. I have no ideas. I don't know Sam Burns.
He does really well putting. Didn't he, Reimer, wasn't he the guy for the Masters that putted like a long putt at the end?
Sam Burns?
Yeah.
Yeah, Reimer, you know every one of his things he's ever done. His life. You got it, right?
I can't remember if it's him or Justin Rose.
It might have been Rosie. I think it was Rose. I know Burns finished like in the top 12. But I don't remember him making like a really long putt on the last.
It was Rose. But Sam Burns putt out, it was a long putt. He was like, he was knocking them down. And then on 18, he missed it. It was one of the ones where you watch it and you feel bad for him. Because it was like, cuffed the edge.
Oh,
of it.
Rimmed out?
Yeah, it was, bad, man.
I don't like those. What are they calling those? That when it rims out? Is that a
rim job?
Lip out. I don't know if that's what they're calling it or not. I'm glad you said it. So Wyndham Clark won the U.S. Open, his second U.S. Open that he has taken. Now, I saw Timmy tweet out and said, you know, something like earlier in the day, like, oh, Wyndham Clark ruined Father's Day because he had such a gigantic lead going into Sunday for, you know, people want the U.S. Open to have drama in it, but he had a pretty big lead going into it. And then I saw later that people got thrown out of the U.S. Open for booing loudly, harassing Wyndham Clark. And
really?
I'm like, are people mad at this guy because
he was
dominating the first 3 days? No. Maybe. But the real reason, according to the internet, and then Rhyme Time, we were asking you before the show started, you can verify this, right? That it's because of what he did at, was it Oakmont? Where he had a bad tournament and then he just destroyed the clubhouse? He missed the cut or something and destroyed the clubhouse?
Yeah.
What?
And they've had the most U.S. Opens at Oakmont. And yeah, he just in the locker room and just completely destroyed two lockers.
And this is like, isn't it like a historic locker room kind of like it's really old and he just decided.
Is Oakmont the one that's like a public course that anybody can play? Or is that a different one?
No,
I'm thinking of? That's not it.
Pebble's public. And it's a top U.S. Open venue.
Then I'm thinking of something else. There we go. Okay. So Oakmont, anyway, he destroyed the locker room at Oakmont. So now.
Well, he just made $4.5 million. He can donate a little bit back to fixing it.
Well, apparently, Reimer, he wasn't even like he didn't apologize at first. Then when he did, it was kind of like, if that offended you, I guess I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever. Kind of that attitude.
And I think like he did have to pay some kind of a fine.
I'm sure he did.
And he has to donate to like their charity or to the course. So it's like, yeah, maybe he will use some of his winnings to give back to Oakmont. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why he was playing so seriously. He down right now. You know, he had to make that donation. You know, his money is looking funny.
Yeah. He said to NBC after the win, he said, New York didn't really like me. This, of course, where they were playing was at Shinnecock there in Long Island. He said, I love you guys, but, you know, I get it. Some of it's self-deserved. I did some unfortunate things last year that I really regret, and I've been sorry. And I've been sorry multiple times, and I'm still sorry. So hopefully I can win you guys over eventually. Well, not yesterday.
Nah, he should just embrace the villain role.
Yeah.
We need villains in sports.
He should be like, yeah, I did that on purpose. Yes. You know what? I'd do it again. And then he went into Shinnecock and just like takes another club to their club. It's like, this is what I do when I win. It's like Motley Crue on the road. Like, better hide your hotel rooms. They're just going to be smashed. Everything's going to be broken. That's what he could embrace it. But no, instead he's got to, you know, apologize and be that. I don't know if those people will ever forgive him. I personally wouldn't if I were a golf fan, but I'm not, so I don't really care. But for those who do, I guess it like had the crowd very fired up yesterday. So let him.
His father took a red eye to see him win.
Did he really?
On Father's Day.
Why wasn't he there before?
I don't know.
Like, I mean,
I don't know what his
you
dad.
You know your kid's ball. What is he like? Oh, you're going to be up by seven or eight strokes for I'm going to come to your golf tournament, loser.
He has something going on.
What is he?
Maybe he didn't believe in him.
Yeah, that's not a good dad.
I didn't book it because I didn't believe in you.
All right, golf fans, before I judge Wyndham Clark's dad, is he taking cancer treatments or something? I'd say, okay, I get it. If he has health concerns or maybe a family member that he has to look after, then fine. But if he's like fully healthy, he was like, oh, US Open, you're in that stupid thing, you loser. God, you dumb golf career. Then that's not a good dad. I'm sorry. If he doesn't show up for his son, I think that's kind of bad. So right, I didn't know why he didn't do it.
I gotta go.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, that's right. You have to do TV now. Well, it's tough when someone takes 3 weeks off, Tyvus, to remember their schedule all of a sudden. Bad guy is going to get a good job. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing a new crash out there. This time around, it's happening over by Dublin, affecting that 33 eastbound ramp to 270 eastbound. So expect some lane closures out there. Outside of Marysville, still watching this crash. It's that right lane blocked on 33 eastbound, passing Stocks Lawn Road. It's right by that rest area, too. Also seeing some slowdowns really developing this morning, passing 42 as you're heading towards Plain City. So a heads up out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
fan.com. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Sometimes when Tyvus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there, it's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
30 minutes from now, we have a little docket here on the sheet. Best and worst case scenarios for both the Browns and the Bengals this season. We will talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. Tyvus Powell, if you've missed it, is back. No more Joshua Perry, but he was here for the last 3 weeks. And, of course, we appreciate Joshua's help while Tyvus was on paternity leave. The boy dad himself, back and ready to go in the chair. How was your 10TV spot? First time doing that in 3 weeks.
A little rusty.
Little rusty?
Rusty. Not Rusty Rotors.
I was going to say, is that the nickname for the son? Is Little Rusty? Because maybe there's a little paternity test that we need to get checked out. Is that
what we're calling it? When he came out and he looked like Denzel Washington.
You knew. That was him.
I said, yeah, that's my...
I'll tell you what, he has some hair. That little guy.
Yeah,
he had a lot of hair.
Shout out to...
Caps just shot through you and went right to him. They did your hair, and now he's got the hair. It just went good for you. I didn't know that was a benefit of Caps.
I don't think you
got to
worry about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing great. So that's good to see.
Lounge 37 in the sports.
Never heard of that.
Old JP.
Yes. Oh, that is JP.
That's Joshua Perry. Yeah.
I did not know. I replied to him thinking he was just some random
citizen. That's Joshua Perry.
That actually makes sense because he said, do you go to, Wyndham Clark's dad go to every one of his events because he's a 33-year-old man. And I said, it's the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
It's not like it was just some random tournament somewhere.
I'm just saying, like, the idea that, like, he took a red eye out all the day before your son's got a 7-shot lead. Wow, what a dad. Like, that's great. Of course. It's like, whatever.
What do you think? He wants to be there to watch your kid lose?
I'm just saying, if it's like, oh, hey, my son's getting named President of the United States, and it's like, oh, I took a red eye to get there for the, you know, when he takes the oath of office. It's like, you might want to show up for that one, Dad. I don't know. It's kind of a big
dad
deal.
Got going on?
Do they hate each other? Like, if it
couldn't have been that. They faked it for TV if they do.
Well, I'm saying, like, if it was a Jack Johnson situation where his parents stole all his money, then yeah, stay away. Maybe he's told you, go no contact. I'm not talking to you.
No, like I said, you don't know what's going on in his father's life. And he probably been to every event. And he probably said, you know what? Don't come.
If he's been to every event, he would show up to the U.S.
Open. The U.S. Open.
Especially.
That's what I'm saying.
My God, if he wasn't there Thursday, he played so well. It was like, okay, let me go out there for the weekend at least. Nah.
No. That's right. I feel like either you don't show up or you do. But you don't go halfway through and it's like, oh, looks like my kid could win. I guess I better get there. Yeah, okay, man. I don't know. Like, go there. I would think of nothing else. obviously Wyndham Clark plays golf. Does dad like hate golf?
He should have
probably not.
He should have pulled an Austin Powers. Daddy wasn't there to take me to the fair to change my underwear.
Right. See, I feel like if your kid is good at golf, potentially dad got kid into golf at some point, took him to golf lessons.
That's not true.
It could be the case. All I'm saying is if they don't talk, then that's fine. But if they do talk,
there is no way that they don't talk.
Okay.
Like he embraced them when he saw.
It's weird that dad wouldn't then be like, oh, I'm going to go to every when my kid plays a major, I want to be there just to see him. I want to be there to support him. I want to hang around with him. You know, now if the kid says, dad, don't come around, it makes me nervous because I'm playing, then fine.
Maybe
that's different.
Maybe he was trying to surprise him.
Yeah, I feel like, no, he doesn't have to go to the, I don't know, whatever the dumb, like all the tournaments that are just named after sponsors. Yeah, okay.
So they said in
20- You gotta go to the Alaskan Air Open? All right, no, you don't have to make it to that one. But the U.S. Open? Yeah, you probably should go to that
one. They said that they're thinking about what his family's been through. His dad has been through. They lost his mom to cancer in 2013, and then Randall, the father, had open heart surgery in 2024.
All right.
So 2 years ago.
I just walked with the guy at the 5K this weekend who had he had his knee replaced 9 weeks ago, and he came out and did the mile. And so, I'm hearing excuses is all I'm hearing.
Wyndham said that his dad has never really gotten to see him win in person. So this was a very nice way to, and he can't wait to celebrate.
Well, I can understand the one a couple years ago. Well, I don't know. Didn't he win it before? Was it 2023? 23. Okay, and then dad had open heart surgery in 24.
Yeah.
All right, sounds like a guy who's not there for his kid.
Then we had the total other end of the spectrum where we had a guy caddy for his kid on the 18th hole on Father's Day.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying.
Reimer, what was his
You know what name? Is that? You know what Randall said?
What'd he say?
Blank them kids.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm just saying, like, this is everybody's talking about this being a touching moment. I think maybe his dad was the one who was out there, like, ever since you destroyed that locker room at Oakmont, I haven't wanted to see you play.
Wait a minute.
Like, maybe that's
how many times has Wyndham won, like, an event?
He won the U.S.
He's
Open.
He's won it two times in the past 4 years. Like,
and okay, then he's won other. He won it
okay,
a couple
20,
weeks ago,
23,
right?
Yeah. The man was having open heart surgery in 24, so I would imagine in 23, like, he might have got, like.
Well, maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was something's always weird. I always have heartburn, son. And he's like, yeah, shut up, dad. You're never there for me. He's like, okay, I guess I'll stay away. I don't know. I'm not getting this is so touching. I just want to know why dad taking a red eye to go see your son win the U.S. Open.
He was going to win.
That's front runner behavior is what I'm saying. Right. You're showing up once your son is like, oh, I might win the U.S. Open. He's like, oh, I better get there now. Oh, okay. Way to be supportive. I'm saying you got to be there for your kids.
You can support your kid from the thing. You don't know where Randall is.
Was he here in Dublin for the memorial when his son was leading that tournament too?
He probably didn't have no money.
His son
up there destroying locker rooms and whatnot. They ain't got no money.
Let me tell you, this is what I know.
Y'all see gas prices is under $4. Shout out to that.
You may have forgotten. This is my area of expertise. One thing I know about the Whites is if they play golf, usually poor.
The Whites are good.
Usually the Whites that play golf, extremely poor, can't afford it. He probably couldn't afford a flight. Probably couldn't even get out there to see his son. He's probably
still
I can't drive
to
my
get the
78 Winnebago.
Fixed.
Won't make it all the way out there. I can't drive that thing all the way across country. Get out of here.
Let me go look at Randall's dad or Randall's gear. He probably ain't.
Who's he sponsored by? Kmart? Spirit Airlines? Yeah, no, he's got
Wyndham
sponsors and
T-Mobile.
Money.
T-Mobile.
Well, didn't he throw a club at a T-Mobile sign a couple years ago, and then that was a sponsor of his?
The same year of the Oakmont locker bashing.
At the
PGA Championship.
Obviously, Wyndham got anger issues. He didn't want to be around.
Maybe that's
he
it.
He's probably
exactly.
taking out on Randall. That's probably what it is.
It's okay, son. And he's like, you know what, Dad? It's because of you. And he just starts beating him up with a club. Goes like Tiger Woods' wife on him.
But Tyvus, did you see the kid, the amateur? What's his name, Reimer?
Miles Russell. He's 17 years old.
So glad that Jacob Reimer is filling in today as like a shadowing you, because literally the whole show is like, Reimer, what's the golf guy with the thing?
We're going to keep doing it. About golf. Let's ask Reimer.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, he literally caddied for his kid on the 18th hole, literally like
what did, and what did Miles do? Triple bogey?
I don't know what he did on the last hole, but then you got Wyndham Clark's dad that's showing up 10 holes into the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So his dad took over on the last hole?
Yeah.
So we applaud this?
Yeah, Miles Russell's caddy walked over to the ropes and took off like his bib and handed him the clubs. And so then his dad came inside the ropes and had the caddy gear on and started walking up the 18th with his son.
Father's Day moment.
Who's 17.
That ain't no moment. He's been 17 the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
He been in the whole, that's you. Loser behavior.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Why wait to the 18th?
I love it too. Then where dad comes in, it's like, all right, my son's about to go up here. I'm going to caddy for him. And then all these, like,
caddy said, this dude stinks. Let me go ahead and get his dad in here.
It's like his second. It's like on his second shot. He's like 280 away. He's like, what are you thinking here, dad? He's like, you don't need anything else, son. Just hands him a putter. And he's like, dad, maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you need to go back home. Where's the other guy? I already kicked. Oh, he's already at the clubhouse. He's already going to drink in. All right. Good stuff. I'm an idiot. Yeah, I feel like when the sports dad out of nowhere is like, show up for my kid on day one, no. Oh, wait, he's leading the U.S. Open? Suddenly, we got to just run in with the little intro music here. It's my time. It's Father's Day. He's leading. And now, from somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, Wyndham Clark's dad! Yeah! Just like, this is the greatest dad in history? I don't think so.
It's a shame. Randall can't even get his moment because of you.
Randall Clark named his kid after a hotel chain. Yeah! His other son, Holiday Inn, could not make it. Doubletree is making cookies right now.
All right.
I didn't even get to the tease, but Mike Babcock sucks. He's probably going to coach the Oilers and win a Stanley Cup, and everybody in the Jackets hates him. There you go. An all-time legend is coming back. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at some major slowdowns on the far east side of Columbus. We're talking just as you're passing Buckeye Lake, 70 westbound, passing State Route 37. We are seeing a crash out there. That left lane is blocked, and that's why we're seeing all these delays this morning. About 10-minute delay for your commute so far, 17 miles per hour for your speeds. For that detour, if you get off and take State Route 37 northbound towards Broad Street, take that all the way towards downtown. That will save you a lot of time on this Monday. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your...
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Wyndham Clark won the U.S. Open for the second time in his career, but it wasn't easy. Clark led every round of the tournament. However, he nearly gave away a six-shot lead on Sunday, finishing just one stroke ahead of Sam Burns to win his second U.S. Open in 4 years. On the diamond, the Cincinnati Reds took 2 of 3 from the New York Yankees, including a 4-1 win in the rubber match yesterday. The Redlegs will start a series with the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. First pitch is set for 7:10, and the Cleveland Guardians were in Houston this weekend. They lost 2-1 yesterday and dropped 2 of 3 games to the Astros. The Guardians will look to bounce back tonight. First pitch from Chicago is scheduled for 7:40. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kosick at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer today. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Tyvus Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvus Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I watched so much soccer over the weekend. I have been loving the World Cup. I've been loving watching all the videos surrounding the World Cup. I just tweeted this out, at Degenerate T-Bone, if you want to see it. Fans of Mexico's soccer team. Right. So obviously the U.S., Mexico and Canada are all hosting these games. So Mexico is playing their games, of course, in Mexico. United States playing their games in the United States. Canada playing in Canada. That's how that works. Mexico, their fans. Have you seen this video where they drank so much beer? Because they give you the beer, obviously, in cups. They are putting the beer in cups and stacking them. Right. And have you ever seen the beer snakes, Tyvus, that they do like at Cubs games where they'll stack the beers and they'll make so many cups in a row that they've probably done this at Guardians games too, where it's like, it becomes like a giant, like snake almost.
Yes.
Plastic cups, right? Yep. Well, the Mexico fans had so many cups, they actually turned it into like an arch that went across like a walkway. And then what they did was they took one particularly not heavy, his BMI probably good, not a heavyweight guy, very lightweight fan, but they picked him up and threw him like 8 feet in the air over top of this beer cup arch they had made and caught him on the other side.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, the athleticism in the stands. Like, think about all those guys, how much they had to drink, and then they're tossing a human over an 8-foot barricade.
You said this was Mexico?
Yeah. I tweeted it out at Jared Tebow. You can see the video right there. Said nothing but respect for our CONCACAF rivals.
Another ignorant soccer fan question.
Go ahead.
There's been plenty of them.
Yeah.
So it's my understanding that the host nation gets an automatic berth into the World Cup.
That's correct. Yes.
Was that the case for all three hosting nations?
That's also correct. Yes. You got that right.
Interesting. And how many of them actually would have made the tournament if it wasn't for that?
Oh, USA, Mexico, Canada would have all three most likely qualified.
Okay.
Like US and Mexico pretty much qualified. Well, US didn't qualify in 2018, but we don't speak of that. But yeah, the US would have definitely qualified. Mexico would have definitely qualified. Canada's been really good of late. They hired an American guy, Jesse Marsh, to run their program, and he's done an awesome job. So, yeah, I think all three of them would have qualified, but they expanded the tournament from 32 teams to 48, so it washed out in the end because more teams are getting in anyway. But
so is the knockout round now going to be one more additional round than it has been in past years?
So, like I said, there were 32 teams in. When they get to the knockout round after these next couple rounds of games, it'll be 32 teams and then 16 and then 8. So, yeah, an extra round in the knockout. But, hey, the good thing for the U.S. is they won their group. This game against Turkey on Thursday, you can just literally run all backups out there. It does not matter. I'm sorry, Turkey A.
There you go.
My bad. That's right. We learned that. Turkey A. Turkey A. I've been trying to say, I've heard Cabo Verde. I've heard Cape Verde. I've heard Cape Verde. I actually heard people from the country saying Cape Verde. So now I'm feeling like Cape Verde is the way we should be going with that. I don't speak Portuguese, but apparently that's the language that is spoken there. So, yeah, whatever. I'm trying to put respect on everybody's names. Get the names right, Tyvus. Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Herzegovina.
Yeah, sure. Them too. They're great. have you watched 1 second of World Cup, Tyvus?
1 second of it? Absolutely.
2 seconds of it?
Yeah.
How much World Cup have you? Have you watched a game?
No.
Okay.
I almost accidentally caught a World Cup game on Saturday.
This fool on Friday, Tyvus, the U.S. is playing at 3. It's a big game against Australia, which, by the way, the U.S. won 2-0.
This is Friday.
Smoked them. The layup happened.
I think I remember you and Josh talking about this because he was watching something else.
Joshua said he would watch Bar Rescue.
That's like it. Yeah.
So that's. So then Dylan, I said, Dylan, are you going to watch any of this? And you said, I have a haircut scheduled at the same time.
Yes.
So I just.
And then when I checked the score after I was done with my haircut, I was like, oh, they're up 2-0. No reason to tune into this game. Maybe next time. But Saturday, maybe you can help.
That's fair. Did you watch any soccer Saturday? No, I get it. That's fair. But that's how good this U.S. team has been that you turn the game and you're like, ah, there's nothing to worry about here.
That's what I see.
That's how good they've been.
That was the 15 seconds that I seen. Okay. I turned it on and the U.S. was up 2-0 and I watched it to half and then I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, they won.
Saturday, I believe. Was Germany playing Saturday?
I feel like that's right. So days are running together now. But yeah, I'm pretty sure played.
I went to one of Tyvus' spots, Firebirds in Polaris.
Oh, yeah?
By the way.
That's why I got my hair cut in the parking lot.
Yes.
that was a game against Ivory Coast where they came back and won. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I saw them celebrating the second goal in like stoppage time.
Oh, yeah, because they put a sub in and he scored two goals to win the game
for us. Wait a minute. We're not about to speed past this. So let me get this right. You went to go see a movie and you went to Firebirds?
Wow.
And I paid for both.
Did you get a raise?
No. Two raises or something. That's crazy.
But I had a bacon-wrapped filet mignon.
Oh, look at you.
It was delicious.
You had to put the bacon on
it? I didn't like how you said that. Filet mignon? Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
And? Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Was this Saturday?
Yes. And then the girlfriend had a pineapple chicken kebab.
Oh.
That had a lot of flavor.
Okay.
I had a steak and I was jealous of her chicken. That's how much flavor this pineapple
that
chicken.
That Firebird spot is very underrated. I've been there a couple times. Every time I've had a good experience.
So. And it's a decently, like, I don't know, I paid like $38 for my steak.
Yeah, right. It's not like a full on steak price experience or price, but yeah, it's still really good.
It's
I like it there.
What you're getting.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's an elevated step above like the steak places that are named after locations.
Yeah,
like Texas Outback. It's like above those.
Outback Steakhouse is absolute trash. By the way, if you go there,
wow,
Don't tell my wife that they like the Del Monte.
I really wanted
there.
To run in there with a U.S. soccer jersey after the U.S. one and be like, "Hey, throw another chip on the barbie!" And they're just like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Heck.
It's like Australia. Yeah,
Aussie.
For my best friend's bachelor party, he said during this trip, "I want to go to Outback Steakhouse," and I said, "No, we're not."
Oh,
his bachelor party?
Yeah, his bachelor party.
I mean, it is his party.
How are you going to tell him
I'll catch a ride back home if we go to Outback Steakhouse. That's how much I don't mess with Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, I can respect it, Dylan. But I don't know if I would do that on someone else's bachelor party. I would probably just say, all right, if you want to eat there, I'll just go there and not enjoy it, but I'll go.
But you know, for the Outback Bowl, they do coconut shrimp versus Bloomin' Onion. If Bloomin' Onion wins, whichever team's representing Bloomin' Onion, I will go to Outback the next day.
Bloomin' Onions, whatever place
does
them.
They give you a free Bloomin' Onion.
Because they do the Bloomin' Onion, and then like Texas Roadhouse has some other version of that, which is also good. Like, yeah, I'm all about when you take an onion, split it open like that, deep fry it, and then give me that sauce to dip it in.
Can't miss.
Do they purposely give the worst team the Bloomin' Onion?
I feel like coconut shrimp wins a decent amount, so.
That's rigged. Nobody wants coconut shrimp over Bloomin' Onion. You're insane. The all-time legend that's coming back is Serena Williams. She announced earlier this month, you may have heard this, she's playing doubles competition with her sister's Venus, which is awesome. But the 23-time singles Grand Slam champion unveiled on Sunday, Wimbledon announced she's going to be playing in a wild card entry in singles competition. So she's going to be doing doubles at Wimbledon and also playing as a single competitor as well.
How long has she been retired?
She has not competed in a Grand Slam event, they said, in singles competition since the 2022 U.S. Open.
So 4 years.
Yeah, almost 4 years. She reached the third round of that event.
Do you think the money's drying out?
I would hope not. Didn't she marry like billionaire or something? I thought she married someone who's like super wealthy too.
It's always the first question that comes to mind when people
she's
retire
got
for that
money.
Long,
she's got the Nike empire. She's got everything. Yeah, she's fine.
Listen, you make a couple bad investments, it could go away.
Well, the 44-year-old Serena Williams will be back at Wimbledon.
Floyd getting back in the ring?
That's
Dude,
true.
What the hell's going on with him? Every other day, it's like his checks are bouncing. He's getting sued. Didn't this man get like $80 million a fight at one point?
Yeah.
What'd he do with it? Just gamble it all away? I thought that was
his financial gambling. People was like taking advantage of him and like doing deals.
Ooh,
with
okay, but wait, hold on. See, that doesn't. How do your financial? Okay,
his financial advisor was doing deals.
Here's what you have to do.
His blackjack dealer.
Here's what you have to do. You have to have a financial advisor when you're making $80 million a fight. And here's what you do with the financial advisor. You say, "Can you make sure all the taxes are paid? Check. All right. I need $20 million of whatever's left over in a bank account that is, you don't have the code to it. You just need to wire that to me, and then I'm going to put it where I need to put it. Now, you can manage the rest of this however you want to. Go crazy. Go invest in whatever
you
want.
You got to hire somebody to watch your money and then hire somebody to watch the person that's watching your money.
You hire the money manager, then you hire an accountant to make sure, hey, this is what this guy told me that you don't know. Is he right? And he goes, yeah, he's right. Okay, good. Make sure those two people never meet, and then you're good. Like, it's an extra step, but just tell him I want $20 million off the top to go into a bank account that gets a savings account.
Floyd,
and that's it.
Floyd was burning money in the club. I mean, when you live the lifestyle he lived.
Sure he was, but you have to try to burn that amount of money if you really are having money issues.
He needs to hit up 50 Cent, see if he's still willing to give him money for reading a page of a Harry Potter book.
He can't do it.
Well, he's going to have to probably get, I don't know what he needs to get hooked on phonics or Rosetta Stone. I don't know which one you need, but he needs something. All right, so what are the best and worst case scenarios for the Browns and Bengals this upcoming season? We'll tell you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and good Monday morning to you. We're looking at a 6-minute delay for our friends traveling outside of Marysville after a crash on 33 eastbound, passing Scotts Lawn Road right by that rest area. That right lane is blocked. Get off 33, take Industrial Parkway all the way to 161, and from there, head back eastbound over over on 33. Also, a heads up for our friends in New Albany. Lane restrictions expected on 161, that eastbound ramp to 62, because we are seeing a disabled vehicle. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
By Netza. ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect on and off showers and storms this morning with wake up temperatures in the 60s and breezy winds at times. And then this afternoon, we'll still see some chances of showers and storms, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy with temperatures in the upper 70s. For tonight, turning mostly cloudy to mostly clear with overnight lows down into the 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan. Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Let's see if I still got this. Performance matters in intimate moments. Don't let ED get in the way. The truth is, most men don't have to live with it anymore. And you may be surprised how the right treatment can improve your love life. If you're tired of being a two-pump chump, then you need to go see my people at Tri-State Men's Health, because they use advanced medical science to empower male performance with therapies that go far beyond some pills. They got treatments with success rates well over 90%. Some treatments can have you last an hour or more. There are two locations located in Columbus. One is in Hilliard, the other one's in Westerville. Call them today and find out why their advanced treatment strategies offer so much more. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health today. The initial visit is only $99. They have an expert staff. And if you're like a lot of men, you could be having sex the day after the appointment. So call them today at 800-900-9654. Visit TriStateMen'sHealth.com. Bang.
That's pretty good. Welcome back, Tyvus.
Would you
after
say
3 weeks off, you nailed that.
Would you say that you are a two-pump chump?
No.
Good.
No.
Good
at least three or four. By the way, I saw a video. I'm like I've said, I've been immersed in World Cup stuff. I was out Friday all day having a great time. My buddy Chris and I, we went out and had happy hour, watched the U.S. roll Australia. So that was great. I saw a video last night. Egypt played late yesterday evening. They won their game 3-1.
Okay.
I'm struggling to. Oh, they played New Zealand. And New Zealand got up early, and then they went out and tied it up and then scored two goals, and they were great. Mohamed Salah plays for Egypt. He is also, for those of you who follow the Premier League, he is a legend with Liverpool, has led them to multiple trophies. He, like, one of their greatest players, if not the greatest player in franchise history, like in club history over there at Liverpool. Liverpool's a big club, mm-hmm. right? He's a great player from them.
Which the one that LeBron is? There,
bang.
Liverpool?
Right there.
Look at that.
Mike Breen, you got it. Yeah. So that's it. So Mo Salah plays for Egypt. And yesterday they win 3-1. They played this game in Vancouver. After the game, fans of Egypt are in the streets celebrating this because, you know, people travel all over the world. Of course, there's plenty of people from Egypt who just live in Vancouver, live everywhere, mm-hmm. that are there celebrating, right? In the streets, who's there with them but Mohamed Salah? Like, one of the biggest players really? In the world is in the streets. Like, they have him on their shoulders. They're carrying him through the streets. They haven't won anything in the World Cup. They won this game, but, like, there's other games to be played. And yet, you can tell how much it means to the fans. And I just love how the fans and the players, you can be worth like hundreds of millions of dollars as a player. You score a goal in the World Cup, it's like you're a little kid. Like, you're as excited as the guy sitting up in the nosebleeds about that. Because everybody in the World Cup is excited about that idea of being at a World Cup. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's truly unifying, whether you like paid, you mortgage your house to get there, or you are a millionaire who plays on the field. Everybody's the same in the World Cup. Like, when you get those moments where the fans and the players get to interact, it's beautiful. And they're all together on it. So that was a really cool sight to see. I like it. Makes me mad I'm not there.
Those soccer fans, man, it's different.
Yeah, now if they're you different. Lose, the other side of this, the soccer fans may also I'm make sure contact, but not in place you want. So there's got to be careful of that, of course. So I saw this from CBS Sports. Best and worst case scenarios for both the Bengals and the Browns. This one, we'll do the Bengals first. They said their best case scenario is what do you think? Like, it's kind of weird. This article basically had everyone, if this, and this work out, they can make the Super Bowl. And if this, and this don't happen, these guys getting fired is more or less how everything went. But
that's pretty much Cincinnati this year. If Cincinnati has a terrible season this year, Joe Burrow is probably gone. They're probably going to fire the coach. That would make you think maybe Jamar Chase might want out. If Joe wants out, then you think Jamar probably wants out. So I think that they're inclined to win. Like, it's written for them to win the AFC North.
Okay, but like, let's, because they're putting in here that, like, best case scenario is everybody stays healthy. The offense looks awesome. The additions of Dexter Lawrence and others to that defense suddenly make them, like, you know, really good. They're young players they've drafted take jumps. Like, Shamar Stewart turns into more of a dude, not just a guy who hits pressures,
if
allegedly.
That's still going to be the worst pick ever to me.
Yeah. And so
they've had some bad ones, Tyvus.
Achilles Smith would be, you know, on line one to say, hold on a second, put some respect on my name.
This one was terrible because, like, it was nothing there. Like, it was, like, I don't know why you thought that it would be different, but whatever.
Well, their worst case scenario here is they said one or more pieces of the Burrow, Chase, Higgins trio miss extended time yet again, drastically altering expectations, and eventually they miss the playoffs, and then they fire Zach Taylor, which... I think we should look at the realistic version of what could happen with these teams. But, like, the realistic good is that, yeah, if the Bengals are healthy and everybody plays up to their capabilities, they are a Super Bowl contender. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's not in question.
Yeah.
If the injuries happen, this is a team that, yeah, would struggle to make the playoffs, I think, is realistic. Now, would they be so bad that they would fire Zach Taylor? I don't know.
If, like, one of those guys gets hurt, this defense is a gift from God, is what I hear from the franchise and the fans. They should still be able to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
if it's not Burrow, Higgins,
if Burrow gets hurt,
it's a receiver who gets hurt,
is that backup again, still Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco's there.
Yeah, Joe Flacco's there.
And signed him.
Yeah, right. So I'm just saying, like, I don't think their low is, I get, like, you could make the case, like, what if all their starters got hurt and Zach Taylor forgets where the stadium is? Then, like, yeah, okay, they could win zero games.
The key to the season is Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow gets hurt, it's done. Because Joe Flacco, as nice as he was the one game and as good as he was with Cleveland, Joe Flacco has it's a cliff with him.
Well,
but to
Dylan's point, the defense has been so improved, supposedly. And the Bengals are telling us that that's all they need to do is improve the defense. So the argument then would be, if you're doing your job right, then I don't think most Bengals fans are going to say, even if Joe Burrow goes and gets injured, we should still make the playoffs and the Super Bowl and all that. No, but
if he only misses like a month, they should.
Yeah,
Joe
right.
Flacco, if you could build play in four games,
I agree with that.
That's your bigger issue, by the way, is just that you have a quarterback who you always have to assume is going to be on the sidelines for at least half the year, because every other year it seems like he has a pretty significant injury. So
I just have no patience with this team now because of all the chatter. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, if because, like, this article is like, oh, they should be able to make the playoffs and win the AFC North. If they win the AFC North and, like, lose their first playoff game, Zach Taylor should still be fired.
I agree with you.
If everybody's
healthy enough for them to get to the playoffs, I agree with you 100%.
And then the people are going to be they haven't made the playoffs since they went on their Super Bowl run, and this would be considered a success. Maybe if they weren't talking so much, I would consider it a success. But Joe Burrow's acting like this is the greatest team he's ever been on. So I don't want to hear, like, if they don't at least, like, make the conference championship game, like, this is a down season for them.
Where is Zach Taylor on his card? Let me go look.
Well, I think he's re-signed it.
He signed through 27, so that's next year.
No. Didn't it come out that there was, like, an extra super secret year nobody knew about?
They gave him, like, an extension and it was, like, not reported.
So he might be here through 2028. Unless that extension was last year, and I'm just misremembering.
According to AI, says...
Allen Iverson's got our back.
Zach Taylor is signed as the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals through 2027 season.
Oh, okay. So maybe that was last year they gave him the super secret extension. Either way, I feel like, I mean, this is a guy who was there before Joe Burrow got drafted, right? And we know this Bengals organization. They're not going to fire. I don't even think they would fire Zach Taylor. Not that I'm rooting for that, but I'm just saying this worst case scenario that CBS put out is like, oh, if everybody's hurt, they don't make the playoffs and Zach Taylor gets fired. According to who? Like, the Bengals don't fire coaches that they've given money to that have money left on their deal,
typically.
Did they
fire Marvin Lewis, or did they just...
Yeah, about, like, 5 years too late.
No, I'm saying, did they fire him, or did he still have years left on his contract?
I can't remember if they... Honestly, they might have fired him at the very, very end of that, but, I mean, there were years that they hung on. No, my point is, if they... The only scenario I see Zach Taylor getting fired is if, once again, they're all healthy... The offense is firing on all cylinders, and the defense is so atrocious, even with these additions, that might motivate them to step in and say, we need to change head coaches, because he does not know how to pick assistant coaches. Maybe that's it, because his defense just doesn't work no matter what they do. But outside of that, if, let's say Joe Burrow gets hurt, they're not firing Zach Taylor. If they're bad, they'll point to that and say, well, Joe Burrow got hurt. What's he supposed to do? And they'll just reset for next year.
They're going to fire Zach Taylor and get Nate Shieldhouse.
Great. Well... Again,
or the guy from the Jaguars, the young guy.
That'd have to be whoever it is. If they're healthy and that team doesn't perform well, and Joe Burrow and the offense are doing great, these are all a bunch of ifs. But if that all happens, he supposedly Joe Burrow loves Zach Taylor. So, like, what would be their motivation to move him? The only motivation, especially, would be if Joe Burrow says, "I may think about leaving," but then. If that's his guy, unless he turns on Zach Taylor and says, you got to fire him, otherwise I'm out of here, then they'd fire him. But I don't think anything short of that is happening. So.
What if they don't win and Joe Burrow say, I'm out of here?
Yeah, but what's the scenario? Like, was he awesome or was he awful? And he's like, well, I just don't know if I can win
when
here.
When Joe Burrow plays, has he been awful?
No, I don't think he will be.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying, like, if he plays awesome, yeah, for sure. If he plays awesome and everything around him still sucks.
Let me ask you this. If he got hurt this season.
Okay.
And let's say he missed six games.
Okay.
And somebody at the end of the year, they didn't make the playoffs. And somebody at the end of the year said, we give you 3 first round picks for him. Would you trade him if you were Cincinnati?
I would not trade a franchise. I wouldn't do that. But I mean, I guess if he gets hurt, you have to think about it because at some point, how often is he going to be available? I just don't know if someone's giving you 3 first round picks injured yet again.
I definitely would have to sit down and think about that. I'm not going to lie.
All right. Worst case scenario for the Browns. We'll do that in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing a few incidents out on our northwest side of town by Dublin. First up, a crash on 33, that eastbound ramp 270 eastbound, so naturally expect some lane closures. Also not too far away, just into our newsroom, we are seeing a disabled vehicle now on the north side, 270 eastbound at Sawmill Road. That right shoulder is currently blocked. Thankfully, not seeing any traffic because of it. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with you.
Fans.com. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. T-Bone would like to take a second to remind everyone that Eddie George is awesome and that Ronnie James Dio was an American treasure. And that pickles are gross. Thank you. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right. We've been talking about worst and best case scenarios for the Bengals there in the last segment. CBS Sports put out their article, and spoiler alert, almost every one of these teams, you know, barring a few of them, is, well, if everybody plays with their capabilities and nobody gets injured, this team could win the Super Bowl. And if everybody gets hurt and they all suck and nobody takes steps, then this team could fire their head coach and everybody could, you know, get traded away. And so that's kind of the scenario they have for both the Bengals and the Browns, but I want to get into what the actual real best and worst case are. Like with the Bengals, I think we can both agree, if everybody's healthy and all the improvements to the defense worked, they're a Super Bowl contender. If that's not accurate, then they're probably like a borderline playoff team. I don't know if that gets Zach Taylor fired or not. I kind of don't think it does because it's the Bengals. But on the Browns side of things, it's much different, right? You just trade away your franchise player on defense, a Hall of Famer, no doubt, Myles Garrett, who is now not a part of this team.
Which you can't tell me that you're trying to win games this season. Nope. You can't tell me that winning is the number one thing because that's a lie.
I forgot that happened after you left.
Yeah.
Because you were on paternity leave for 3 weeks. So
when I saw that, I said, well, the Browns aren't trying to win games like that this year.
Oh, no, don't listen to them because they tell you like, oh, are you kidding me? We got Jared Verse back.
Action speaks louder than words. That's all. Exactly. Jared Verse is a really good player, by the way.
Really good player.
Yeah.
No one's doubting that. And they may
I do wonder if they're going to run a 3-4 or 4-3, though. I'm curious about that.
Now, that'll be curious, right?
Because with Miles, there was no chance you would ever run a 3-4. He's not doing that. But
no.
Jared Verse is used to a 3-4, so I'm curious.
Yeah. See, that'll be an interesting part of this is to see what they end up doing there. But everyone who wants, there's a lot of spin that comes out of Cleveland from the media up there that are like, they're trying to win. Jared Verse is a really solid player. And it's like, right. Is he a walking Hall of Famer right now? No.
He could be.
Could potentially be down the road. Is that a decent move for your future? I get all of that side of it, mm-hmm. right? But what team that's competing for a Super Bowl says, let's trade away our best player on our roster, one of the best players in franchise history, so we can get ahead of when the downslope of his career happens, and we can get a younger player who can play here maybe for 7 or 8 years and get picks in regards, you know, back for that. That's what a team does when they don't think they're about to win this season. No, it's, right? That's
the trade. To me, the trade, as much as people don't want to accept it, the way that I view the trade is you got two organizations that realize the window that they're in. The Rams understand we're in win now mode. Matthew Stafford might got 2-3 seasons left. We got to win now.
Right.
Because once he's gone, we got to redo the quarterback thing. We got to try to figure out if Sean McVay still going to be here. We got to groom up Ty Simpson. Like, it's going to be a work in progress there. So we need to win now with Matt Stafford while he's still playing at a high level.
And the Browns.
The Browns are like, we're not in that Super Bowl window right now. Our window realistically opens up in about 2 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go ahead and do it. Let's go ahead and trade and get this young guy in here. Let's develop these young guys for this season.
Get the
young guys some experience. Hopefully they can take the next step. And by the end of this season, they're playing at a high level. We got Carson Schwechter, Harold Fairnick, and Quinshon Judkins. Make them take that next step to where they are arguably Pro Bowl and maybe all pro type players. If you get that performance, all right, then boom, we get the 27 draft, who is the generational draft, the draft of all drafts.
Right.
We hit on a couple of picks in that draft. Boom. Now the window opens up.
Okay. And then they come to you and say, but we think Deshaun Watson gives us the best chance to win now. Now you hear all this talk up there of like, well, if Deshaun is the best option, they need to go with him.
Well,
Andrew Berry needs to put his foot down. If he is such a brilliant roster builder, he needs to take Todd Monken, who's been here for 2 seconds into his office, and say, Todd, hey, nice to meet you. Cool. I'm glad you're here. It's so great that we're all working together. Did you ever meet Myles Garrett? No. All right. Well, who cares? We traded him anyway. Here's what I want to tell you. You're not playing Deshaun Watson. You're playing Shador Sanders. You're developing a quarterback. We're going to find out if that kid can play or not. Because if he can, then I can use all these first round picks and all that stuff next year. I can use that to get draft capital and all kinds of other things to build a roster to win a Super Bowl. But if I don't have that guy on my team, then I need to go draft a quarterback next year. And that's where I'm not understanding why Deshaun is even in the conversation this year. Like, why would you even be talking about playing him?
Maybe he's in the conversation because they want to lose.
Well, now see,
maybe that's the case.
That's right.
Maybe one of the things.
Maybe that's it.
If Deshaun Watson is not up to Deshaun, like if he ain't like good, we could put him out there, and we can always say, "Well, we're paying him, so we want to see him."
So you're saying the worst man will win this job?
I mean,
which is again, like the Tyvus. I don't think you're wrong on that necessarily.
I'm sitting here looking at the nightcap, and I'm looking at Ocho Cinco talk about he was talking to Jerry Jeudy, and he says that from what he's hearing, which is
what he's hearing.
This cracks me up because, again, I don't really pay attention to nothing until we get to that joint practice in preseason. That's when it gets serious. But anyways.
Okay.
He said what he's hearing is that Deshaun Watson will be the starting quarterback and he's guaranteed 6 weeks. And what he does in those 6 weeks will dictate if he gets a week 7. If he doesn't do anything in those 6 weeks, they're pivoting to Shador. Now, my thing is this. Why would you guarantee somebody 6 weeks? Makes no sense.
Well,
because in those 6 weeks, if he goes 0-6, the season's over with.
Is it or is that like, oh, we got to 0-6, job well done. Now, like,
exactly,
like that is actually what we need if we're going to get the number one pick, because you're not using any of your picks. I know you can package and move up, but this is supposedly a generational quarterback draft. Don't you want the best? Like, again, if you think the quarterback's on your roster, then you don't need to worry about that. They don't know who their quarterback is between old and bad and injured Deshaun Watson and young and potential but not proven it yet, Shador Sanders. I would think you'd want young and potential and not proven it, Shador Sanders. With a real offensive line.
Well, that's the logical,
with some actual
that's
weapons.
The logical thing.
Let's see what he can do.
I personally haven't been there because the times that I was supposed to go, I couldn't make it to those days. But when training camp starts, I will go see practice and I will see it for myself. But from the people that's been there that I trust and listen to, they say that Deshaun looks terrible. They say Deshaun looks terrible. And they say that Shador has moments where he looks terrible as well, which is what we've seen that before. So to me personally, if they're both on the same length, you always go with the younger player. That's just how it always worked, because you're going to have the younger guy longer. So I don't understand it. I don't get it.
What are your guys saying about Dylan Gabriel?
He's an
nothing. He's an afterthought. Dylan is an afterthought.
Yeah,
it's a shame. They're doing him so filthy up there.
They gave his number away to Jared Verse, and no one even mentioned it. Like, he didn't have to pay anything. He just shows up wearing it.
You see him tweet out Baker Mayfield, or he posted like an Instagram thing of Baker Mayfield.
Oh, I didn't.
Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Because he got the six on.
Oh, so he just switched numbers.
No, he's saying like he's going to embrace the six because the last quarterback that has six did decent there.
Yeah, but he wore whatever. What was Jared Verse wearing? Was
eight.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what he wore.
Correct.
So now he just.
Now, the sick part about it all is usually, you know, it works where a new guy comes, he offers him some cash. I don't even think that was the case.
That's my point. There was no article written about that where he just was like, oh, they're like, you're Jared Verse. We want you here. Dylan Gabriel can find another.
So, like, if I'm Dylan Gabriel, somebody comes in, don't offer me no cash, they give my number away. That means you, in the preseason, you better be playing your best ball to get on tape so you can go somewhere else.
I'm telling you.
You're not going to be a part of this team.
I talked about this with Joshua, and you know this too. Like, when you guys get drafted or when you go to a new team, don't you have to meet with a guy from the equipment room who's like,
They give you the roster and say these are the open numbers.
These are the open numbers. Yep. Here, show me what your shoe size is. Yep. I'm going to get you. Here's your cleats to get fitted. What face mask do you want in your helmet? All that stuff. And they give you a list that tells you which numbers are there.
Yep.
So if Jared Verse didn't walk in and say, hey, I want to see number eight.
He went in there with a pen and said, here's the open roster numbers. He seen the roster. He took a pen, scratched out that eight from Dylan Gabriel and put Jared Verse right there.
I don't think he did it is what I'm saying. I think someone came in and was like, yeah, you can go ahead and cross this one. That guy's not going to work here anymore.
It messed me up. I didn't know that he switched to six. I thought that they were doing the double number thing.
Did he switch to six? Which is official? Or
I don't know. What I'm saying is, on that first day of practice, I thought Dylan walked out with eight and Jared walked out with eight.
They did.
So, which you can do in the preseason.
Okay.
You could do that because y'all not on the field at the same
time.
And
then he switched his number?
And he just completely switched his number. So, like, that's where it was like, oh, wow.
Because they told him, they were like, you can wear whatever number. It ain't going to be eight. That's Jared Verse's number. It's incredible. Unless there was a payment we didn't hear about. It's a very odd way to do that business. All right, Overachiever of the Week coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Some much better news for our friends in Marysville. A crash just clearing up on 33 eastbound passing Scotts Lawn Road. That right lane is officially back open, but we do have some lingering traffic out there. Now looking at 15 minutes for a delay if you're heading towards places like Plain City, Dublin, even further downtown. For that detour yet again, if you can just get off 33, take 36 to Industrial Parkway, take that all the way southbound to 42. We'll get you back going eastbound on 33. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Learn more. The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tyvus played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world.
T-Bone has eaten some of the biggest pizzas in the world.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tyvus is back today from his paternity leave. We're glad he's back. He's got the boy dad shirt on.
Yep, I did it just for you two.
I like it. That's good. You've abandoned us in the girl dad camp only. Now you are
both. I guess
you're
three.
Still a girl dad.
Yes.
Jacob Reimer is here as well. He is training with Dylan because apparently he has to be trained on how to run this show, which it seems like he's run more complicated shows than this one. But right. Never know. But he's here. Right. Actually, you're only here. We brought you in just so you could give Tyvus work on the basketball hoop. That's the main reason.
That's irrelevant. We're not even going to talk about it.
Oh, is that right?
We
speaketh.
Is that right? We did before.
What happened? You were so excited to talk about it earlier when you won the
first one. It was so long ago that I forgot.
We haven't played since.
I forgot what happened.
It's almost crazy.
Maybe in the next break.
Almost seems like maybe, maybe like you're ducking him a little bit.
I think you got up 3-0 and then I had a 4-0 comeback.
Oh, you choked, Tyvus.
So what are we talking about?
You know, Tyvus, we have a regularly playing segment right here.
And now it's time to highlight someone who's better than us in every single way. Meet our overachiever of the week.
Sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air, your trusted experts in air conditioning and heating 7 days a week.
All right, I'm conflicted on my overachiever this week because this is a guy who I'm excited about because he used to play for the Columbus Crew, all right? But Curaçao's goalie, Aloy Room, tied a record for the most saves in a World Cup match with 16, tying Tim Howard from the U.S. national team, who did that against Belgium many years ago. But in this game, Curaçao's goalie kept them in Aloy Room by making some tremendous saves throughout the game as they tied Ecuador. And this is why I'm conflicted, because as much as I'm excited for Aloy Room, former Columbus Crew keeper, Ecuador is our hometown boys. These are our hometown guys. They lived here. They're living here. They're staying here. While they're here in America for the World Cup, this is where they're training. So I had adopted Ecuador as one of my teams I was rooting for. And naturally,
you got too many teams.
I got too much. Oh, I got Cape Verde. I got all the teams. I'm rooting for everybody. But yeah, that was a great performance by him. So Aloy Room, at I think like 37 years old, setting a record in the World Cup or tying a record. Let him live. Great performance by him. He's my overachiever of the week.
My overachiever of the week is Tyvus Powell, because he went out in with no training, 50 pounds heavier and 10 years older, wiser, dropped a 4.85 in a 40, where if you give those stats to anybody else, Josh Perry, on the other hand, he can't run under 5 nothing. So the fact that I went out there and ran a 4.85, pat myself on the back. Special shout out to Nate and Greg for being the only two people there to beat that 4.85.
Right, so a couple guys beat you is what we're kind of bearing the lead on. Also, your overachiever of the week being you in your first day back is kind of the most on-brand thing you've ever done, Tyvus Powell.
This inspired me. I feel like I might
you've
start...
You've inspired you?
I might start
you've
drilling.
You've inspired yourself.
Yeah, I think I want to put my cleats on and start doing drills again.
This is
I feel like I might can make a comeback. Listen, the aviators, if they need a guy, I might now.
Why don't you go help
out there?
Go help Jamaica in the flag football. Why don't you go help them?
Oh,
you could do that instead.
Play nose tackle.
Nose tackle.
Do they have nose tackle?
I'll be an edge rusher if they go in that.
Sure enough.
4.85 ain't fast enough to be an edge rusher.
Yeah. Wow.
if I train and cut 15 pounds.
Dylan, your overachiever of the week.
Mine is Kyle Schwarber. I saw an interesting stat. He hit 215 home runs in his first 5 years as a Philly. That's the fourth most all time, behind Babe Ruth, Mark McGwire, and Ralph Kiner. Like, I knew Kyle Schwarber was pretty good at baseball. I did not know he was in that elk of company when it comes to hitting home runs. 215 home runs in his first 5 seasons with the Phillies.
Wow.
All right.
Let him live. Yeah, it's a pretty good performance there.
I know a lot of people here hate Kyle Schwarber from his days with the Cubs.
You should. Three home runs and then Bryce Harper with the cycle in the same game, all against T-Bone's Mets.
Yes.
Oh, who cares?
Kyle Schwarber also hit two home runs in an inning.
Doesn't bother me.
They stink, though.
Mets?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's actually quite impressive that they spent this much money and are this bad. I don't love it, but they have an owner who thinks if you throw money at it, it will just magically be fixed, which I appreciate that. I'm glad he's at least trying to spend money, unlike the Mets' previous ownership.
Is he one of the guys that's in favor of the cap?
I don't know. I actually don't remember if he is.
Be.
You would think.
He has so much money, he does not care.
But he's one of those guys who shouldn't care.
Well, give it to me.
Well, fair enough.
Let me borrow something.
What if? But they hired like a I forget. He's the dude from the Brewers to like now run their team. He's one of these like analytic nerds who's been like a GM of a team since he was 25. And it's like, great. Maybe these guys aren't good at their jobs. How about we stop giving these guys opportunities to go screw teams up? Because you got all the money in the world, you got all the analytics in the world, and you can't figure out how to put a winner on there. Maybe it's a little bit something more than just the like numbers on a spreadsheet. Maybe you have to figure out how guys compete in a locker room together. Do they get along well? Will they actually be able to survive 162 games being in the same clubhouse together? Things like that matter, but they don't think like that anymore in Major League Baseball, at least not teams like the Mets when they hire guys to run their team.
What if Steve Cohen bought the Guardians but kept the Guardians' current front office in place?
Oh my God.
It would be a juggernaut.
Yes, because they've had to do so much with so little. Over the years, they've gotten really good at figuring out some of that chemistry stuff and figuring out how to build, you know, a bullpen or starting rotation or things like that on a budget. Yeah, you would think that would work, but then again, maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't because the constraint is what makes them great. You know what I mean? Maybe they're great artists when it comes to being constrained, but if you let them do whatever they wanted, they would just screw it all up. I don't know. But yeah, that's Guardians fans. I don't blame you if you're laughing at the Mets. You should be. Everybody should be because they're a laughable franchise.
They have the second highest payroll behind the Dodgers?
Yeah. Yeah. They're and I think last year, either that or they had the first because it was one of these last couple of years where I think they were the highest. I thought they had the highest payroll in Major League Baseball, but yeah, whatever. Who wants to hear about the stupid Mets? Let's talk about Wyndham Clark and his dad who parachuted in for glory right at the last day when he's like, oh, my son's got a humongous lead in the U.S. Open. Let me get in there.
And then he almost blew it.
Well, yeah, because dad showed up and made him nervous. So
oh
see,
God.
He's just a selfish guy, selfish dad.
He didn't even know his dad was there until after he won, correct?
That's fine, but he probably could sense it. You know what I mean? Where he's like, something's off today. I don't know what's the deal. And then his dad was there. He's like, hello, son. How are you? He's like, why did you name me after a hotel?
People can't even celebrate Father's Day like they want to.
He should have been there the whole time.
I don't know what he's doing. It's Father's Day. Why would you want to hang out with your kid?
I don't know what his obligations
were. My son is playing in the U.S. Open. He currently has the, like, that alone.
Maybe that
forget
was the
if
whole,
he had the lead, but like.
Maybe he was coming to the thing no matter what.
I'm just saying. My parents.
And the plan was, listen, I'm going to tell him I'm not going to be there, and then I'm going to just show up.
Tyvus, my parents aren't in the chat every day or anything like that, but my parents get up most days, according to them, because they will tell me things they saw on the YouTube channel. They will see the comments that some of you people make. They will comment on that to me. What I'm saying is they're in the chat every single day. They're not showing up when it's like, oh, Marconi Award season. They're like, oh, my boy is nominated. They're not there for that because that's never happening. They are here day in, day out is what I'm saying. Wyndham Clark, his dad, is not there day in, day out. He's only there for the glory. And I say that's not good. We have a great example of what not to do at your favorite sporting event. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching that crash for you up in Dublin, affecting that 33 eastbound ramp. Expect some lane closures as you're heading eastbound over on 270. We do have some delays, some traffic really building, really just by that ramp. But you're passing it, you're looking a whole lot better on this Monday. The only other slowdowns we're noticing out there includes that 71 northbound direction, just before you're hitting places like 315 and 71. 70, that split downtown. We're talking over by Greenlawn Avenue. Pack the patience and just be safe. I'm Penn TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Traffic.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Wyndham Clark won the U.S. Open for the second time in his career, but it wasn't easy. Clark led every round of the tournament. However, he nearly gave away a six-shot lead on Sunday, finishing just one stroke ahead of Sam Burns to win his second U.S. Open in 4 years. On the diamond, the Cincinnati Reds took two out of three from the New York Yankees, including a 4-1 win in the rubber match yesterday. The Redlegs will start a series with the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. First pitch is set for 7:10. And the Cleveland Guardians were in Houston this weekend. They lost 2-1 yesterday and dropped two of three games to the Astros. The Guardians will look to bounce back tonight. First pitch from Chicago is scheduled for 7:40. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180 Weight Loss results this summer. With the solution for weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
two men who both know the value of a good hat.
You're bald!
This is Bone and Tyvus.
The people in the chat are hilarious. They want, Mario says hello to Mr. and Mrs. Bone. Mr. and Mrs. Bone, hello and sorry for the chat. They say, Coach Beer says, hi, T-Bone's parents. You should have named him Wyndham or Hilton.
Doubletree.
LW, yeah, another says, good name your for parents a kid. Probably cringe for 3 hours.
Oh, that's 100%
and Mario
accurate.
Wants yes. to know if your brother Porkchop does radio.
That's good. I like that. My parents do watch on YouTube. They watch it a lot of times on their like Roku on the TV, so yeah. I don't know if they get to always see the chat. Yeah, but my dad has definitely pulled it up on his phone and mentioned the chat and how funny it is that, you know, how much you guys interact.
So yeah, when I was sure. on those 3 weeks off, I would watch it on the TV. And when you watch it on the TV, the chat doesn't pop up.
That's
you
have a shame. To like, you have the to full like, experience.
You have to like physically go to hit a button to like make the chat, like the comments show up on the screen. Yeah.
Right.
But if you watch it on the phone or internet, it boom, the chat pops right up. So
yeah.
They probably, if they watch it on TV, they probably ain't seeing the chat.
No, that's, they go in between. Like they'll watch it on that. My dad will have it on his phone sometimes. But yeah, it's always appreciated, the YouTube chat. My parents enjoy it as well.
I saw my dad yesterday for Father's Day.
Yeah.
Actually, and he goes, Dylan, how's work? And I said, Tyvus is back tomorrow, so you won't have to ask. Since, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't listen fan. When Tyvus is off. Yeah, that's your number. Yeah, that's right. Loves you, doesn't love Dylan at all, but yeah. Yes, loves you, Tyvus.
Like,
so he's here for
to
you.
That stupid show, unless Tyvus.
Understandable, totally understandable. Yeah, our thanks to Joshua Perry. Last 3 weeks filling in for Tyvus, but
who's now using his time now to go work out in the morning?
Oh, look at that. We'll see. That's what
his
happens.
His body's used to waking up, so he figured to go knock the workout out.
Yeah.
By exactly the way, right. I've seen Joshua Perry in person before, obviously, but not for an extended period of time in the last 3 weeks. I immediately, when I see him, I stare at his crooked finger. That thing is disgusting.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you play as a defensive lineman. Like, it's going to happen.
Captain Hook.
Or I guess he was more of a linebacker, but whatever. He wished he was more of a hand in the dirt guy.
Josh used to have to cut the pinky out of his glove.
That's gross.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because
it wouldn't fit in the glove, so he couldn't get it in there, so he would cut the pinky off. So, like, we'd be in games and, like, his pinky is hanging out the glove.
I'll say I never even noticed, I used to be like, noticed that.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
That's dedication. He's playing the game.
So then, you know,
I'm telling you, Anthony Munoz, former Bengals legend, right? I mean, that's a guy whose fingers are all messed up from playing. There's lots of guys like that that play the game.
So what he did then after that, he got annoyed with cutting the glove. So then he just started taping his fingers.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of those guys did, right? When they would break their fingers, like initially, they would just tape them together and then they don't heal properly. Isn't that kind of why that happens?
I always wanted to play in a game with my fingers taped. I only did it once.
Yeah.
And it's when you tape your fingers, it make you want to grab something.
Mm.
Yeah,
I could see that.
I only did it against the Navy because I knew they wasn't throwing the ball. They ain't throwing it.
I saw some guys in the World Cup, and this is like I always think this is like a badass soccer move, is when you tape your wrists, because you know that means like you're going to be going up for headers. And when you do that, sometimes you get knocked on your ass, but you're like 8 feet in the air. So you end up landing and putting your wrists down. So they'll tape their wrists up because it's like, yeah, you got to watch out for me. I'm a bit of a high flyer out here. I'm going to be up there. So like,
I wonder what
I think that's a bad, it's a great look too. And after they're like sweaty and they've been like all, you know, in the muck, if it's on, cause it's all on natural grass. I don't know if you know that, Tyvus. Soccer has standards, unlike the NFL, where they'll let you guys play on concrete. But anyway, like those guys, they're bloody, they're muddy, they're whatever. And then after the game, you'll see them like taking off the wrist tape. And it's just like, yeah, that's what it used to look like in the NFL. Guys would come out of the game and they would take the tape off their wrists and they would like, they would actually look like they did something. Now we're playing in air conditioned carpeted places that have no character whatsoever. Congrats on the new Brown Stadium, by the way. Should be awesome.
What a hater.
Meanwhile, I'm watching all these World Cup games, indoors, outdoors, natural grass. They got grow lights and sprinklers.
So let me get this right.
Just like some of our friends, like Mario, who's our guy that's that works in the industry of a little bit of cannabis?
Andy.
Where are we at?
My guy. That's what I'm saying. We got some people get those.
Your issue with the domes is not necessarily the domes. It's the grass.
It's the sterilization of something that used to be wild and feral. Now we're going to turn it into something corporate and boring.
So if you can only pick one to complain about, which one would it be? Is it the dome or is it the turf?
I'd rather it be outside. And then I'd rather be outside and then
that's pathetic.
But it doesn't matter because they're all going to be corporate. They're all going to look like they've been playing the same. They're going to look like they're playing at Wyndham's and Doubletree's. They're going to look like they're playing in hotels. That's what these games are going to look like.
You going to catch some Buckeye games late in the season or Browns or Bengals games late this year?
I mean, the Buckeye games. Yeah.
No, like, are you going to attend? Is what he's asking them.
Yeah. I would love
Brave the elements with
everybody.
Dude,
you're asking a guy who has three children who have a million activities all at that time.
I got three kids, too.
Yeah, and they're all like, I'm saying, are you going to a lot of games? No. Because you have a job on Saturday.
I work 7 days a week starting in the
fall. I'm just saying, if you didn't work, it's hard to get to games. But no, like, if I can get some tickets to the OSU-Michigan game and it's 20 degrees and sleeting, I'd be there. I don't care.
I'm sure you could get
credentialed. I've been there in cold weather games.
I'm sure you could get credentialed.
I don't want to get a credential. I want to go with my kids and take my family and, like, go actually be a fan. And you sit up in the box, you have to sit there and pretend like you're not watching the game. You can't root when you're in the box.
You're not in the elements when you're in the
box. That's what I'm saying. I would be out with the people. If I can get some tickets to take my kids and go, yeah, for sure. Maybe we will.
I don't believe you.
Neither do I.
Okay.
You had a chance last year to go to a monsoon Browns game, and you decided not to go. So miss me with that.
Because I have this job, and I have to come back here, and I'm not
so
like you.
So do I.
I'm not getting paid to do it
so
like you.
So do
I. Have sat
you
out.
You know the difference between you and I is? The game ends at 4. You would be back by 6.
Differences between you and I.
I don't get back till 8:30.
This is the difference between you and I is... You guys were in diapers when I was out there in the weather, in the elements, going to games. I've been going to games for a long time. Right now, in this season of life, yeah. But don't worry, I'll be back out there soon. I'm going to be out there in the elements. Unfortunately, it looks like all the stadiums are going to have domes on them by the time I get back to doing it.
Shout out to
the Bears.
Once
I get these kids raised.
The Bears is doing it right.
What, putting a stadium in another state with a dome on it and artificial turf? Great. Well, that's awesome. So here's what not to do when you go to a sporting event. I saw that a fan at a NASCAR race, they were running the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, I think is what it's called. It's the second tier. It's not the Cup Series that runs on Sundays. These guys run on Saturday. They're a lot of like younger drivers. They had a wreck that red flagged the race because the wreck was so bad they had to clean up the track. So under red flag, all the cars are just sitting on the track. They're just turned off. They're sitting there, but the drivers are still in them.
Mm-hmm.
A fan hopped over not one, but two fences. And then went out to one of the drivers, whose name is Sheldon Creed, and tried to talk to him while the race is still going on, but no cars. It's not dangerous because the cars aren't moving, but you're still not allowed to be on the track. This is a little bit of the audio from the Fox broadcast.
So look at this. We had a fan.
He thinks that
Matt Kenseth hopped the fence and got on track. What's Sheldon Creed thinking right here?
Oh my God. Do you have a Sharpie?
What is happening?
He didn't even get a selfie. I mean, you talk about a missed opportunity.
Well, I'm going to tell you,
if they find military base,
they will find you.
Sheldon's like, you got to get out of here, man.
How did this is actually the driver. This is his audio when this was happening.
I think he's wasted. I didn't even understand what he was saying. I just let the officials know that we do have no part of this guy. They're running out their mouth.
Yeah, he said, let's make sure the officials know we have no, like, we don't know who this guy is. We didn't encourage this. This is just a random guy from the stands.
This is funny because was it the finals or was it the Western Conference Finals where the guy took the picture with Whitby?
Oh, yeah. I forget which one that was. But yeah, someone ran out on the court to get a photo.
When you do that, you get banned for life.
Banned, yeah, probably from every stadium.
Every stadium?
I would think so because they know that's a safety issue. You don't know what people are going to do. But I saw that this guy
Wait a minute. So back when I was playing, we was playing Cincinnati, and a guy ran on the field, and Slagle slammed him.
Yes.
You're telling me that guy never can come back to an Ohio State game.
I don't know what Ohio State did in that situation. I know that a lot of places now, they won't. Well, this is probably a little bit before you guys' time, but wasn't it, Monica Seles, I feel like, was the tennis player who got, it was some tennis player, female tennis player in the 90s, where she's at I want to say it was the French Open or something like that, and a guy hopped out of the stands, brought a knife, and, like, stabbed her, like, on the court.
Mm.
They had to, like, I mean, they take this seriously because you don't know who's coming out on the court, what they're doing.
They don't got the sharpshooters on the roof.
I don't think they did for a tennis match back in the 90s. Maybe they do now.
At the Ohio State game, I look
this
up,
guy,
he'd be up there every time.
This guy who did this was on a naval base. So they put this out there in the, you know, like, Honor America type of thing that NASCAR is doing. They built a street course on a naval base. So there's, like, ships and stuff. You can see them off in the distance. It's the naval base where Top Gun like where those pilots train, mm-hmm. that's where. Slapshot, Ted Carter, who's no longer the president of the university here in town of Ohio State, but I think he went there back in the day. Just saying, you when you get arrested on a naval base, it's NCIS that comes and gets you. They said NCIS arrested this guy, which I'm just sad it wasn't CSI. CSI would have been way better.
Which one got Ice-T in it?
Oh, that's Law and Order. That's SBU. Different network. That's over on NBC.
Yep, that's
these
him.
Are the CBS ones.
I wonder.
The guy that got brought down by Schlegel, I think that was his punishment.
Mm. What? That he got slammed by Schlegel?
Yeah, it probably would
be. Slegel still got it, boy. Yeah.
Because if everybody forgets, the week before, he stroked a dude with his hands and like made him leave the game.
I actually wish CSI had arrested that guy, because then maybe David Caruso could have shown up and he could have said something like, that's going to be quite the hangover tomorrow. Would have been awesome. It's too bad we didn't have that. Oh, well. We'll come back. Tyvus has set his new son up for success. I'll tell you why next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. For our drivers in Dublin, we are still watching some delays after a crash on 33, that eastbound ramp to 270 eastbound. So yes, be patient out there on the roads. They're still wet and slippery as well. Also seeing some slowdowns if you're traveling 71 in that southbound direction heading downtown. We're talking Long Street as well as over by East Broad. I'm 10TV's Brina Albizu with your fan.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet. Timmy Hall's Gaudi gold chains. And Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90 degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect on and off showers and storms this morning with wake up temperatures in the 60s and breezy winds at times. And this afternoon, we'll still see some chances of showers and storms. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy with temperatures in the upper 70s. For tonight, turning mostly cloudy to mostly clear with overnight lows down into the 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. One of these men was prom king. The other is Tyvus. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Hadley Ray in the chat says, insert Kobe Bryant soft. Men here are, for all you folks complaining about the elements. Listen.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't call me soft because I played in the element. I did it. I didn't enjoy it. And it's not something that I'm just openly excited to go out there and do. But if you're paying me money to go out there and do it, I'm going to do it to my best ability.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that's something that I thought football players, you know, oh yeah, bring it on. You can't hurt me. There's nothing that I can't play through or deal with. And I'm saying, as a player, adrenaline kicks in. The atmosphere kicks in. Whether you're on the road or whether you're at home, the fans can fire you up one way or the other. And then you got your opponent standing right in front of you where it's like, okay, it's a third down. I got to make a stop, or I got to make a play and catch the ball here, or whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. Fans are literally just sitting there watching it. Like, we aren't moving around. We don't have heated blankets also, they drape. We don't have a jet engine shooting fire on us.
But you also can bring hoodies, blankets, and all of that stuff.
Yes, but you're running around moving. I'm saying the fans have it way tougher sitting in the cold and the elements. Or we're just standing there dealing
y'all
with it all.
Y'all got jackets, hoodies,
you
blankets.
Guys have jackets. They have giant heated jackets they throw on you the second. You got people holding them as soon as you come off the field.
But this
throw it on top of you.
What if you're a bench rider like me?
Then you can sit on the heated bench while engine blows heat on you.
No, you can't. Because
yes, you can.
When they come off, they need to sit down.
So then you can get up and put a coat on. And you can keep your coat on. I'm saying.
Or you got to go to the other side. You got to go to the offensive side if you're on defense. You got to go to the defensive side.
Maybe do your job better. We'll be riding the bench.
Before we went to break, we were talking about people running on the field.
Yeah.
And Rad in the chat says I would have turned onto the field and talked to Tyvus when I was playing. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was playing and a fan jumped on the field and was running from security.
Yeah,
I'm goofy enough to set a pick for the guy so he can get away longer.
Well, you've said
I would have jumped in front of security.
I like
so
that.
So he can run a little bit longer.
You've said that you want to run around at Jack's place. You want to see if you can sprint down the fairway, see how long it would take for them to catch you.
The timing of it would matter. If a fan did that, when we were, let's say we were going up against Oregon, and Oregon was running that no huddle offense.
Oh, sure.
And they did it, I would jump in front of the security. I need you to take as long as possible I can get my win.
I just want to point this out. Buckeye fans, if you're listening, Tyvis Powell endorses running on the field, especially if the other team's out there kicking our defense's ass. Their offense is no huddling. And
we ain't going to call a timeout. I need help.
Right. And then if you do it, you could be like, I did this because Ryan Day can't call a timeout and because Tyvis Powell told me to. And then that, I'm sure, will get you right out of jail. I mean, no problems, no questions.
You could be like Kenny Atkinson and just hold on to the timeouts.
Do not do that. Yeah, you could. I guess you're right. So I think what you're doing with your son is a great thing. Because I was reading an article. So your little guy, who we have dubbed Baby Tsunami on this show, his actual name is Trace. Because you had said, and your wife had said, there's not going to be a Tyvis Jr., right?
Yeah, I wanted to go with the thug, but she wouldn't have.
Okay, well, she said
we needed a T, and I thought, you know, the thug would be pretty good.
Thug is, I don't know. That's fine, whatever. You didn't go, though, with Tyvis Jr., is the point here.
Correct.
Well, I saw this about Alex Freeman. He is the U.S. men's national team defender who scored the second goal in their game against Australia. And, of course, the U.S. beat Australia 2-0 on Friday. They have, because of the other result going on in the group, they have won the group already. It's a pretty great accomplishment for the U.S. men's national team. They're already on to the next round, and they've won the group, so they will be playing like the worst team of whatever potential matchups they could be having. They're not like the second place or third place team that's going to play a first place team. They're the first place team. They'll be playing someone who's probably not as good as the U.S., which is great. Yeah. So hopefully another chance. But they have a game Thursday that's kind of irrelevant against Turkey. Turkey is already eliminated. U.S. cannot do anything with their positioning. So that game is just, they're going to probably run out backups and let some guys get some playing time. But that game is essentially irrelevant at this point. They're already on to the next thing. But Alex Freeman, you may know him, or at least you may know his dad. Former Packers legend Antonio Freeman is his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading an article that talked about how his dad thought about being a famous athlete when he had his son. He thought maybe his name should be Antonio Freeman Jr. And he actually said, no, I want him to have his own legacy. I don't want him to feel like he has to live up to mine. I don't feel like he has to be a football player. He can be whatever he wants to be and successful in his own right, not based off of football and not just everyone thinking he's... That's what you're doing with Trace.
It just hit me. I know why I know the name. Remember, I was like, why does that name sound...
Antonio Freeman? Yeah.
I know why. He did what catch? It went off his back and he screwed up, caught it, picked it up. That was him.
He's a legend. Yeah. I think he's in the Packers like Hall of Fame or their Ring of Honor, whatever they do out there. I'm just saying, like, yeah, he's a good player, but he wanted it. So his son now is starting for the U.S. national team. And he said, I don't want my kid to have to live up to my rep. I want him to make his own name.
Yeah,
and he has, obviously.
You hear it now. One of the things you hear now is, is your son going to go play for Ohio State? Is he going to be a Buckeye? And I say, no, he's going to be the next president of the United States of America.
There you go. I like that.
He can do his own thing.
Do whatever he wants.
I'm not about to force him. If he wants to have interest in it, I'm going to tell him, listen, you can have all the interest you want. If you're going to play, you're going to go to your Uncle Cardell, and he's going to teach you how to play quarterback. Because even though, you know, I probably could teach you better than he could.
Yeah, but
that's another story for another day.
Yeah.
I mean, I taught him what he knows. So, you know.
That's right.
Quarterbacking is in my DNA.
Okay. That's good.
So I'm going to let him play quarterback.
I could just see him saying that he wants to play receiver, and then you're just jamming him on the line of scrimmage as a 3-year-old child, and then you just completely discourage him from wanting to do any type of football activity ever again.
Yeah, that'd be about
it. Yeah, right. That lines up. That definitely lines up for sure.
Definitely sounds like
1,000% do something like that for sure. I'd be like, this is why you're going to play quarterback.
I'm just pointing out, like, I mean, especially if he's built like you, like, you might roll a soccer ball out to him, just see if he likes it. Because you never know. If he's got, like, that athletic ability, you could always have him go play soccer. And then he can travel the world, make millions of dollars.
His grandfather would love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You said if he's built like you, built like Tyvus was.
In high school and college is what I want to be very clear on that. I'm saying like the speed, the agility, the physicality.
What's wrong with what I got going on?
I'm just saying.
This is the strongest I've ever been in my life.
Maybe he would, if built like you are now, maybe like rugby is more like the sport.
This is all muscle right here. This is muscle.
By the way, I saw that the World Cup viewership numbers, so Argentina and Algeria from a few days ago, Argentina's playing again today, why I bring this up. Fox put this out, that the Argentina-Algeria game, which Argentina won 3-0 over Algeria, played awesome that game. Lionel Messi scored all three goals in that game, for what it's worth. They had over 9 million viewers on Fox. They had another, I want to say, 8 million on Telemundo and Peacock. That was in the Spanish language broadcast. So combined, that's just the U.S. number, 17 million viewers for Argentina and Algeria. Now, it's Lionel Messi, but those numbers are rivaling like college football games that involve Ohio State and Michigan, right? Like, that's the number they're doing. This is for a game that did not feature the United States. United States game was up over 25 plus million people watched that. They're not doing NBA and World Series numbers. They're doing NFL and college football numbers with the World Cup. Like, I'm not saying that means soccer. I don't care if soccer's arrived, not arrived, whatever. But I am curious, and this is going to be the fan poll today. Are you watching more soccer or less soccer than you thought you would be of the World Cup? Are you watching more World Cup than you thought you would be? More than you thought, less than you thought?
Less.
You haven't been watching much at all. Well, you just had a newborn. I mean, there's that.
That is true.
But you also have a lot of time where the baby's just sleeping. You could flip it on.
I've done that. Like I think every day I flip past the game. Like I've watched watch it for like 15 seconds and then flip past.
Oh, so you got to do that.
Soccer is not. It was like hockey for me. Like hockey, I didn't know it. I had to learn it. Soccer is like that for me too. I got to learn it.
Dylan, are you watching more? Well, you're getting haircuts during U.S. soccer games, so I'm guessing the answer's less.
I thought I would catch some USA games, and I've yet to do that.
Where do you go? Best cuts?
No, I do not.
I'm just so curious.
Best cuts. What is best cuts? I don't even know what that is. Yeah, is that below your standards?
Split yes, sports clips.
There you go. Sure. Why not? Today, for what it's worth, Argentina is playing against Austria. That's 1 p.m. on Fox. If you want to watch some guy named Lionel Messi. Go. That's a game to flip on to.
That's prime nap time, Bone.
Go watch Lionel Messi.
That's a no-go. I will be asleep.
How about France taking on Iraq with Kylian Mbappe for France? He's awesome. He's like Mbappe, one of the best players in the world.
I'd watch that.
He's at 5 p.m. That's on Fox. And then Norway and Senegal. Norway's got Erling Haaland. He scored 2 goals in his first game. These are dudes, I'm saying. You got dudes all over the place on this. And that's at 8 o'clock on Fox. You can watch all three of those games.
Is Neymar still playing?
Well, he plays for Brazil. Brazil is still playing. He hasn't played yet, but it's thought that he will be back in the next game. He's been injured, but he's coming back from an injury. So Neymar may play in that game.
Boom. See, there you go. How these two are acting right now is how everybody acts when I talk about Big West basketball or just any other mid-majors.
Big West.
I know. Hawaii. UC Irvine. Come on,
yeah, you gotta lock in.
Respectfully, ain't nobody watching that.
If you love the game. Dude, I'll tell you this. Tonight, Jordan and Algeria are playing at 11 p.m. I would be going to, if I didn't have to get up and do this job, I would be up for that. I've been watching so much soccer. I've stayed up as late as I can to watch these games over the weekend because I didn't have to get up and come in here. I'm not staying up tonight for that one. But I'm going
to
stay up and watch Norway-Senegal at 8. I'll probably go to bed after that. Stay up a little later than my bedtime because I love watching. It's only once every 4 years you get the World Cup. I love it. It's fantastic. But maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe you're not watching as much. That's all well and good. But the fan poll today brought to you by JT's Pizza. Are you watching more or less World Cup than you thought you would be? You can answer that on all of our socials. We'll come back. We will check in with our guy who does not watch the World Cup, Joshua Perry. The breakdown with Joshua Perry in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
If you're heading out towards places like Easton, Gahanna, even the airport, keep in mind we are seeing repairs on 670 eastbound, right at 62 Fifth Avenue. That right shoulder is blocked 22 miles per hour when it comes to your slowdown, so keep that in mind and just be patient out there. Also, packing patience for our friends in Grove City, heading downtown. We're talking 71 northbound over by Greenlawn Avenue.
I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan 2.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. The Buckeyes, the Big Ten, and the rest of college football. We tackle it all in the Breakdown with Joshua Perry.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at TheRoofingGuys.com.
Joining us now on the Brian... What? That's who? The Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He is Joshua Perry, former Buckeye, former NFL player, former fill-in host of this show up until Friday. Did 3 weeks here, filling in for Tyvus. Joshua, how's it feel to not get up and be working at 6 a.m.?
I mean, I still got up.
There you go.
Hit the gym this morning, so I was feeling pretty good. Got in the YouTube chat, too, which different perspective, not being on the other side with the mic on, but... glad to be joining you guys. Before I get to roasting Tyvus, which he crazy tried to turn his slow time into some sort of victory. Talk about that in a sec. The Wyndham Clark thing is super interesting to me because I am team. Why does that need to be at everything? It's Father's Day. What if there are other kids involved? Do you think everybody's dad was there who could have been there? I think it was fine that he would or would not have been there. It's his choice completely.
Yeah, his son Hilton Honors was unfortunately not able, said, Dad, can you join me? Not Wyndham. You come with me in Doubletree, we're going to go make cookies. Like, it's the U.S. Open, though, Joshua. That's the thing, is he flew in when he saw that his son had a 7-shot lead and was like, oh, I guess I could show up for this loser. I guess, fine. You're playing a little golf thing. Like, it feels very much like...
What makes you think he didn't have this plan? Because if you just buy a late ticket like that, I mean...
Okay, what if his son didn't make... But if his son doesn't make the cut, then do you think he's getting on that plane? No, he's not flying.
What if,
like,
what if he had other things to do today that just got canceled? You know, he had plans, you know, he had meetings or whatever the case was.
I tried to say all this
going on, or
I'm hearing this is ridiculous.
That happened. And then they were like, oh, you know what? Actually, we gotta kick that down the road. And he was like, oh man, great opportunity for me to go see my son be victorious. Like,
all right.
Don't know what happened.
I get what you're saying. Like, my oldest daughter does theater, right? So like, if she ever made it on Broadway, like her first performance, we're going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. And if she opens up a new
show.
No, because it's. No, of course not. I agree with you, Joshua. I agree with you. But if she's like, hey, Dad, I know it's been a few years, but I'm opening up a new production of Hello, Dolly, and I'd love for you to be there. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I got a meeting on Monday. I don't think I can make that. This is the U.S. Open. There's only a few majors a year. You can't make it out for those, especially his son's been winning. Like, it feels very odd that he wouldn't show up for this.
Made it out there? Like, every father that could have made it, do you think they all made it out there?
No, but I think that's something that is odd. That's a skill issue for them. If you're not there for your guy, what else are you doing? Your kid's making money as a golfer. You can't fly out to join him.
I mean,
I don't care what job you have. Go see your son.
With their other children that weren't so selfish to work on Father's Day.
I'm just saying.
What are we talking about? I got
a question for you, Josh. Out of curiosity, let's say Lil James decides he wants to play football, but you work in the fall. How are you going to see him play?
It's the thing I think about all the time. Like, you know, if I'm still doing my Saturday deal and he's a college football player, it's going to be a little bit tough to get to all of them. Now, I will make what I can make, but, you know, these are decisions, right? Like, bills still got to be paid around here. Love you to death. Like, I want to support you. I'll watch tape with you all week long. But, you know, like, Saturday is that day. There are a lot of considerations that have to be made in these situations.
I don't know. I just feel like Wyndham, someone who's named Wyndham, Dad's probably not like, sorry, man, I got to pick up a shift at the factory. You know how it is. The boss is really on my ass. Like, it feels like he might have a financial planner who's put him in a spot where he could say, hey, you could skip a couple days of work.
He just had open heart surgery.
When?
2 years ago.
That's not just. That's 2 years. Whatever.
Wait, you know the recovery process for it?
I know it's a long time, but he can't get on a plane? He got on a plane. It wasn't like he said,
he had his little
Thursday you'd be in
surgery, that little itty bitty surgery he had.
That's not what I'm saying. I can't fly out there because of my open heart surgery, fine. He flew out there on Sunday. You could have flown out on Thursday. He's a front-running dad. That's what I'm saying. He's only there because the kid is getting the glory. That's why he came out. Be there for all the days.
You might as well go out for the practice rounds, too. I mean, like, you're taking up all dad's time.
I agree. Well, be a good dad. That's what I'm saying. He's getting all the love for being a great father, for coming out when his son's about to win a major trophy. Yeah, good job.
So, Josh, I'm giving you that credit. So, Josh, obviously I ran my 40 on Saturday. If you was to put your hand in the ground today, would you get under 5 seconds?
I'd like to say I would, but I'm not doing that. It's a crazy thing to even try to do in the first place. And I think what's even crazier, number one, $1,000 on the line, you pissed down your leg. So congratulations to you. Secondly, the aftermath and trying to flip this into a positive experience. I'm 50 pounds heavier and I didn't even train. You told us what you told us in the lead up. You said you were going to run your combine time. You missed by a mile, and I think the timer was
missed by a mile.
4 tenths. That's a mile.
4 tenths of a second is a mile. That's like a flick of the button.
That is an eternity when it comes to sprinters, especially that short of a distance. Neither here nor there. I also think the timer was very generous. Okay, because that to me, if you watch the tape, it looked like a 5 second run to me.
Well, what did you do on the second one that you did, Tyvus? Just to kind of. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think I remember.
What was it?
I don't think it was 4.
Oh, wow. Well,
there was a 5 on it.
There it is.
Just say, I'm just saying, we took the best time. I think the second one.
That second time might have been a little bit more accurate than the first one, if you ask me.
Well, nobody asked you.
Yes, you did. You actually called Joshua Perry on this segment to ask him questions. You did ask him. That's actually factually correct.
Well, the good news is we got 4-8.
4-8. You got 4-8 out of it somewhere.
That's like me at the combine. And also, at the combine, I ran 4-4. I ran 4-4 my first run and 4-5 the second run. Nobody talks about the 4-5 second run because you take the fastest time.
Right. But 5 and up, we round up. So it was really a 4-9. Just like that 4-4-6.
Don't do this. You are a professional hater. You got around these guys for 3 weeks, and they really have gotten you to be a hater. You know what it sounds? It sounds like to me, Josh, it sounds like you're a little jealous. I think deep down you wanted me to run a 5 flat, and the fact that I ran 4 anything bothers you because it's like, dang, I know I can't do that. Like, I feel like that's where you at.
I'm not trying to do that.
I feel like, you know how Bo Bishop says a man got to know his limitations? I think you know, like, I would never run a 4-8 in my condition today.
Ty, can you still dunk a basketball?
Yeah.
I flushed one this morning at the YMCA. Felt good.
What does that have to do? I don't understand what that has to do with running under a five second 40.
And I was just standing there too. I didn't even take the run up. It was just 2 foot yam.
I'm trying to figure out what that has to do. Why are we switching from running to basketball?
Because I still got it is what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not
going to do that.
Oh, Josh, what did you? Let me ask you this. What did you run at the combine? What did you run?
4.68, I believe.
How about this? I'll put $1,000 that you wrote run that 4.68. How about that? I make it even better. I put $5,000 that you wrote run that 4.68.
I know I'm not going to do it, Tyvus. It's not the point.
That is exactly the point.
See, this is. I like how you're already betting Baby Tsunami's college fund that has just barely had time to even start. And you're already like, no, we're betting that. We're betting that on a run.
You're betting the Trump account.
All right, JP, thanks for the last 3 weeks. We appreciate it. We'll have you on. I know you're doing some fill-in stuff this week, right? When are you on next?
Today.
Which show?
At noon.
There you go.
Rothman and Ice.
There you go. Perfect. So you can hear Joshua Perry there and, of course, every Monday right here at 8:30. Thank you, JP. Have a good rest of your day, all right, man? And watch some World Cup, damn it. Sure. Stop watching Bar Rescue.
I don't think I can help you there.
That's fine. I'm trying to get people to watch the World Cup because apparently a lot of other people are. People at the station are not, but I am apparently.
Nobody's interested.
I'm apparently not around here. All right. We'll hit the buzzer with Ryan Baker coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
A disabled vehicle now popping up as you're heading downtown, 71 southbound, right before that 40 and Broad Street area. That right shoulder is blocked. Thankfully, it's not causing any slowdowns. What is causing slowdowns? Still noticing some repairs on 670 eastbound, not too far away at US 62, also known as Fifth Avenue. That right shoulder's blocked out there, down to 23 miles per hour when it comes to your drive times. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tyvus is drinking a protein shake for breakfast. T-Bone is eating a protein donut. Minus the protein. And it's more than one donut. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, a guy who is the hardest working guy, who's given me a run for my money, actually. One of the hardest working guys in the business, Ryan Baker, the touchdown maker, and he comes with gifts.
It is 3 weeks since I've heard that. That sounds
good. Gifts. Right?
Baker, what did you get me?
Did you get it for you? Well, this is for Baby Tsunami.
What about him?
I was very upset because this had some shipping delays and it didn't get here before you left.
What is it? A barrel of oil?
this is hilarious. So T-Bone gets him all his Cleveland stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. We got him onesies for all the Cleveland
Baker
teams.
Baker is getting him his first Columbus Crew.
Hold on, what?
Not right, Crew.
Excuse me.
Not Blue Crew. Jackets. Blue Jackets. Look at that.
Onesie. Look at that.
Born to be a legend. Let's go.
You know what? The wife will love it.
He might take
up hockey. You know? You never know. You got to let him try everything.
Tyvus,
well,
let me ask you.
My
grandson, Cardell's boy, he's in the hockey.
Yeah?
My grandson. Yeah.
Cardell's son is your grandson.
I'm guessing that's an enforcer then. Trucking kids.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, Tyvus, if you want to get him into hockey, let me ask you, do you enjoy getting up at 3 in the morning and then spending tens of thousands of dollars a year on hockey gear? Because that's
hockey,
like,
is expensive.
It's an expensive and an early sport. A lot of travel too.
They're like, he's gonna be getting a job now, right?
Yeah, all the sports
are expensive.
Football's not expensive. Just get him some cleats.
I guess that's like the only one gloves. That doesn't have like an AAU circuit, right?
You gotta camp, like do like 7-on-7s and stuff like that.
I don't know. Like, what's the I know Jeremiah Smith came from the 7-on-7 team down in Florida,
South Florida Express, or whatever it's called.
What is that? Like, I mean, do they just like schedule games with random people, or aren't there other 7-on-7 teams like that probably play down there?
Well, 7-on-7 is big in Florida because they do spring football. They allow spring football down there.
And California too, I believe.
Yeah, they've done that for a while, and Ohio has adopted that now. Like, you can do that now. There's some aspects of spring football that you can have, but that's been a year-round thing in Florida for a long time.
Right, because the weather. Right? Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I just didn't know if that, like you said, there's no AAU for it, but I didn't know if stuff like that was starting to grow.
What's the equestrian? Isn't that like expensive?
Yes. Well, you have to get a horse first. I don't think they're
also big in Florida.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't, good. long as they don't take
horses?
Up equestrian.
Are you a fan of the white horses?
I'm guessing your kid is going to be a little big for horses. And that's no offense. Like, those guys are usually pretty small. Just saying, like, I don't think Baby Tsunami is going to be a jockey, all right?
Tyvus walking in and it's like, oh no, which one's getting on me? Oh, the kid, all right. Okay, good. That's why I don't even go near the horse part. I just hear him start making all this noise. And I'm like, no, guys, I'm just here to pet you. I'm not here to ride.
They'll start neighing and hopping in their stalls.
Yeah, that's because your father's
tall doesn't necessarily mean you have to be tall.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, Tsunami.
Are you taller than your father?
I am.
Yeah.
Seaboard.
No. See? My dad's taller than me.
See?
Yeah, my dad's about...
Now, Tebow's way bigger.
Again, still not jockey.
That's right. Yeah. That's also... I'm also way bigger than Bam Bam Bigelow's dad, for what it's worth. I'm just a big guy. I can't. Have you ever done
that for Halloween, by the way? That'd be a great costume.
I've thought about it. I also thought of coming as Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but that has less references. Most people don't get that one.
How about like Vader for doing wrestlers?
Bam Bam would be better.
He's more Bam Bam.
I need to find the onesie and see if I can get that whole thing. Yeah, I would like to do that.
Do you respect my 40 time?
I was very impressed.
Thank you.
I didn't think you'd get under five. I thought, no way.
Some would argue he didn't, but he one of the watches from one of the guys who later I want to point out, you complain like, that one guy, he's a little quick. I don't know if I believe all these times, and I didn't want to tell you. That's the guy who had 4.8. Because you were skeptical of his time.
I am just impressed that you're not limping this morning.
Why would
and
I be
also,
limping?
Also, I think you could be the third or fourth defensive end drafted this year in the NFL draft with that time.
It's not quite what it used to be. I'll tell you that.
I was impressed. I said, no way he gets under five.
Yeah, I was rolling.
He was, and I will give you this bit too. So we did this out at the Fan 5K.
No stretches. Dynamic warm up.
You did a lot.
A dynamic warm up is what
I did.
I heard a dynamic warm up is exactly what I said I was going to do.
A lot of jumping up and down and it's like swinging his legs. You're saying you didn't stand there and do static stretching, but correct. You definitely warmed up before this. Now the thing was,
we
did it from the 40 to the end zone. And then after the end zone, there was like a barricade right there and people were standing at this fence line. And so Tyvus was afraid. Like when I saw him run the first time, he did have to pull up a little bit because of the people. We figured next year what we need to do is start at the end zone and then run out to the 40 because then you have 60 more yards to
just truck them folks. No, just like the geese. Don't stop. Just keep going.
Naturally, as you see the end zone, like as you see the finish and you see that it's only 10 yards of run room to stop, you naturally pull up a little
bit. But now I realize that's what they do at the combine.
Yeah,
they start at the end zone.
You go the other way, you could just keep flying through.
So that's something to work for next year.
What was at the end zone? Like, what did they have there? Like, a barrier, a fence?
The track.
Like, literally, Logan Heating and Cooling Services was right there.
Yeah, like the tents were set up.
You just run right through them?
No.
We're going right into Logan's.
That'd have been a heck of a commercial, I think.
Yeah.
What's exactly coming up on Bishop and Friends today?
Well, this was a big sports weekend with the U.S. Open, which I watched a ton of, and the World Cup, which I watched not a lick of. So we're going to talk about both of those things and a little bit about in The Athletic. They had an article about 90s football and how great it was, and we'll talk a little bit about that and all what could have been for the Ohio State Buckeyes back then. Mm.
Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon right here on The Fan. Thank you, babe.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
Now, this story came out Friday afternoon. I wish it had come out Friday morning because I would have talked about it then. But I've had all weekend to think about it, and I still need to bring it up. Leesburg, Florida, an 85-year-old man was arrested after allegedly street racing over 100 miles per hour in a sports car. And this is an important detail they include in a news story. While smoking a cigarillo,
a
little tiny, small cigarette, like it's a cigarette, but it's like tinier. He was pulled over by police. They asked him why he was doing this, and he said, quote, "I'm just having a little ride in my favorite car." So this man, 85 years old.
How fast you say he was going?
They said he was traveling in a red Corvette at around 125 miles per hour. Mm. And the thing was,
did he go to jail?
Because he was street racing. The thing was, there was another car, a Nissan sports car, traveling at 110 miles an hour.
So he was rolling them.
He was, yes, apparently was rolling.
So the Nissan got caught and he got away.
Actually, I take that back. The Corvette got away. He was in the Nissan, so he was only going 110. Only 110.
You got to get a faster car.
Yeah. He said, no, I didn't. I wasn't racing that guy. I was just out for a joyride. That guy just saw me going fast and thought he wanted to race me. I didn't even know that was going on. He was arrested.
I like that, though.
He was arrested.
Listen, good for him. Like, I feel like we should all be able to go out the way we want to and join something that we love and Why not?
Yeah.
This 85-year-old guy.
Maybe just don't go street racing. That's the part of
it. You got to get a faster car.
I got, there's that too. All right, that's it for us. Have a good rest of your Monday. Bishop and Friends is next. We will see you tomorrow. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching some slower drive times after this crash on 33, that eastbound ramp to 270 eastbound. Guys, 40 miles per hour when it comes to your speed. It starts over by 33 and 161. Doesn't get any better until you're passing it. Just make sure to go slow out on the roads this morning. They are still wet and pretty slippery out there. And that's happening all throughout the metro. Before, friends, sticking over to the west side over by Hilliard, at least your drive times are okay. Only a 6-minute commute on 270 between 33 and Roberts Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a great day.